Blog Talk Radio.
I said, friend, let me get that for you, as he rolled his wheelchair toward the door of the restaurant I was going in. I helped the old fella through the door. I could see that his hat said he served in World War II. I shook his hand and said, friend, let me buy dinner for you. He said, son, I wish everyone felt like you do. I watched a tear roll from his eyes. He said, grace. And as he sat there and he talked to God, my heart was in my throat as I heard him ask we'd all find a better way. And he said, if we keep on going the way we're going, we're headed for hell on a fast train, not knowing how we got there or how we're gonna come back. They've taken the U right out of the USA and broke the right arm off of the Statue of Liberty. Put out the torch that lights our way. Then they say that it's all politically correct. Help us stand up now, God, or there won't be no America left. He said, son, for God and country, I lost my legs on Omaha Beach. But that's nothing compared to what thousands lost if we continue to be free. Once again he said, well, if we keep on going the way we're going, we're headed for hell on a fast train, not knowing how we got there or how we're gonna come back. They're stomping and burning our stars and stripes, not giving a damn for the sacrifice of life that protects that very right. Yet they say it's just the way that they protest. Help us stand up now, God, or there won't be no America left. America lives. America.
For more gross, stupid, and morally deficient funny stuff like you.
Good evening and welcome to the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show. I am your host, Jeremy Johnson. As always, I have my co-host, Chris Bikerson, joining us tonight. Chris, how the hell are you doing on this, well, it's a snow evening here in Minnesota.
Oh, man, I'm tired. You know, my legs are worn out from chasing the dream out here on the road, but I got to tell you, I'm not in Minnesota. I'm not in the snow. It's 75 degrees and sunny down here in Texas. So I guess I'm doing a little bit better than you. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, that's the funny thing. I was sitting down in Plainview, Texas yesterday. I loaded down there yesterday early afternoon, and it was 65 degrees. It was windy. But I drove all the way up to Oklahoma City last night, and it was windy. And I looked at my weather forecast, and it was supposed to get windier. So I woke up early this morning, even before the birds get alive, and I took off and started my journey or my trek back home. And I made it with 7 minutes left on my 11-hour drive. and I ran into wind the whole way and snow and sleet, and it sucked, but I did it, and I'm here, and I don't care. That's all that matters. I get an extra day off this week, or half a day. I usually don't get home until late Friday or early Friday afternoons, and this week, a little bit different. But, hey, enough about me. Nobody cares about me. What they do care about, Chris, is, number one, tonight's show. At 7:15, our friend Rooster from Canada is going to be calling in. And that is going to be fun. No holds barred, uncensored. He's going to tell you some stories of stuff that he witnessed in Ottawa involving the police and how they treated people. And, you know, their fine Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau. And, prima donna prick. Before we get to that, though, let's bring up something that I've seen today. The U.S. Senate confirms Ketanji Brown Jackson, the first black woman to serve on the Supreme Court. And they emphasize the first black Supreme Court justice, black woman Supreme Court justice. My question, that's all fine and well, and I'm happy that there's, ethnic groups. Let's just put it that way. I can't speak tonight. Black people, white people, Hispanic people, where are they at? How about indigenous? Can we get some of them on there too? But if you're going to emphasize people by race, which the left likes to do, can we talk about our qualifications? Not more than a year ago, I believe it was June of 2021, Mitt Romney denied her entrance into a lower, to be a judge in a lower court. And there's a video going around now why Mitt Romney, I talked to her for an hour and blah, 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 blah. How did things change that fast in a year for Mitt Romney? Mitt Romney is a pile of dog shit, by the way. That guy's a lot of them need to be removed. But anyway, so not even a year ago, she wasn't qualified to serve on a different court that's way less than the Supreme Court. But now today, suddenly she qualified herself in 8 months or 9 months. Give me a fucking break, man. When does people start looking at all this stuff and say, holy shit, man, these folks are corrupt? Not to mention the Democratic House blocked Hunter Biden from testifying in Congress. They blocked it. Make you wonder why, doesn't it? But, you know, yeah, Ketanji or whatever the hell her name is, I wish I could pronounce it, Ketanji, whatever. Yeah, you know who I'm talking about, the first black woman. Yeah, so anyway, the Senate confirms her. Thanks to rhinos like Mitt Romney that don't have a moral fiber left to do the right thing. This lady is very, very lax and easy on people that possess child porn and pedophiles. And I wonder why that is. And why did she get nominated to the Supreme Court, considering Hunter Biden's laptop is out there? And, boy, all the stuff going down with Jeffrey Epstein and his woman. And, yeah, boy, I tell you what, it's so much it blows my mind. What do you think about that, Chris, about the confirmation of Ketanji Brown Jackson?
First off, I'm going to have to correct you. I don't do that very often on the show, Jeremy. I'm going to have to correct you because we don't know that it's the first black woman justice because you're not a biologist and neither am I. So either of you can really make that determination to elaborate on. I'm just going to say. And I just hope that if there's ever a gender discrimination case that comes up before SCOTUS, she'll excuse herself from the bench for that, because she's obviously not qualified to hear it. But, all right, I know. Yeah, do the drum and the cymbal there. That was bad. But you know what? I haven't even had a chance to really look into it. I've kind of come to the point that the world's just going so insane that I'm just kind of like, yeah, you know, whatever. Tomorrow I can wake up, I could step out of my truck, and I could see elephants with clowns riding them parachuting down from the sky, and I'd be like, oh, okay, well, I guess that's the next thing, you know. Just the world's upside down. It don't make sense. And, you know, as far as her being lax on child porn, you know, I think we've all seen hints here and there that the left is pushing for pedophilia to be classified as a sexual orientation, and therefore wanting to decriminalizing it. You've already seen how much of a fit they threw over the so-called Don't Say Gay law down in Florida, which actually has nothing to do about Don't Say Gay. It specifically addresses adults not engaging children ages 5 through 9 in school to discuss their sexuality. And of course, why would you want an adult having that conversation with your 5 to 9 year old? But that goes more into what we talked about last week, is really trying to push this idea that the children do not belong to you. They belong to society. And that you basically have to butt out while society teaches your children what they see fit. And again, we've seen that mentality before in the past, most notably, of course, 1930s Germany and the Hitler Youth. So I think we all know the direction this is going, and I don't know if we can really stop it, but we're damn sure going to try.
Yeah. Exactly. It's basically what it is. It's in indoctrination of their beliefs, like you just said. There's a reason that Joe Biden just signed an executive order to make lynching a federal hate crime. It's not because there's black people being lynched all over the United States, and it's a pressing issue that needs to be addressed immediately. Has it happened in our past? Yes, it has. And is it shitty? Absolutely it is. It sucks. It sucks that we have people that hate other people so much that they're willing to hang them for the color of their skin. I don't like that. And unfortunately, like John Elling, he didn't join us tonight. He had some bad phone reception when I talked to him yesterday, and I'd like to, for him to weigh in on this sometime. But they didn't do that for racial issues. They did that because the Bill of Rights states that when the government becomes tyrants, it is our duty under the Bill of Rights, under law, to when tyranny becomes law, it's our duty to stand up, and one of those things is lynching whoever commits treason against our great country. And they should go to the nearest busiest intersection and be hung by a rope, and their body shall stay there until dusk. That's what it states. And honestly, there's a lot of American people and a lot of Canadian people that are ready. They are ready for that because they see the tyrannical government. They see what's going on, and it's our duty. It states it very clearly. And they don't want, there's a reason they don't teach that to kids anymore. They don't want kids growing up knowing that, especially now. But, excuse me. But enough with that. Let's just get right into the conversation. I mean, I cannot speak tonight. I don't know what the hell is going on. So I'm sitting at my kitchen table, right? And yes, I did crack open a beer because I am done working. I do not have to drive. I don't have to go anywhere. And I want to have a few beers, but I've had 2 beers, and I've been home for about an hour and a half, hour and 15 minutes. And all of a sudden, my mouth or my tongue doesn't work. But hopefully that gets fixed as the interview goes on. Or that I shouldn't say interview, the conversation with Rooster. But I see Rooster's on, and I don't want to waste his time. And I've told everybody that Rooster's going to be on, and I'm going to add Rooster in right now, and we can get right to it. Rooster, how are you doing tonight, my friend?
I am living the dream, brother. How are you?
I'm spectacular. Man, I've been excited about this since I talked to you, you know, the first time about you being on the show, and I thought, you know, it's just another another person that can tell us what they witnessed and what they seen and, you know, how they felt. Why don't we just start off with this, Rooster? For those that don't know who you are, let them kind of know who you are, how you got involved with what you guys did up in Canada, and we'll take the conversation from there.
You betcha. So I've been in the trucking industry for about 30 years, and I witnessed a lot of changes in this industry, as we all have that have been in it. With the shit that's been coming down the pike here, it's obviously been coming a while. But as far as the convoy goes to Ottawa, I jumped on board basically because of what is happening, and I had to do something because I want my grandkids to have a future in this country. So it was basically just, I heard about the convoy actually through TikTok. I think it was Chris Barber actually, one of his videos, and that just kind of sparked me. And yeah, that's pretty much how this has all started, and it's pretty much been life altering, as you know. So
yeah, and you happen to be the third truck in line to head into Ottawa, is that correct?
Yeah, I was third. That was Chris Barber, and then I can't remember the guy's name that was in front of us. He had a walking floor trailer. And then it was me, and we got into Ottawa, and they kind of put us down this, I don't really remember the name of the road right now. Some others that are listening probably know which one it is. I don't pay attention to that detail too much. It doesn't matter. So, but anyways, it was kind of like just right along the riverbank there at the bottom of the Parliament. And then Chris and the other truck got mustered up because they had a parking stall for them up on Wellington. And the rest of us kind of got two blocked down there. And so we sat there. I don't know. I think I sat there for about an hour. And then I thought, well, this is bullshit. I didn't come here to sit down here on a fucking creekside. I want to be up there where the action is. And then we just found ourselves to move some traffic, do some stuff, go down the wrong way and into downtown. And there you go. 22 days later, we got beat up by the police and pepper sprayed and left, to sum it up. So we'll get into a little more detail in the middle, of course.
Oh, absolutely we will. So you guys were there for 22 days.
22 days living downtown, right on Kent and Albert, you bet.
Okay, so what's great about this is back in May of 2020, a group that I was involved with, the Disrespected Trucker, our friend Sean McIntosh and numerous other people got together, and we were tired of the trucking industry, the regulations and the low rates and everything that went on in the trucking industry. We decided that we're going to go to Washington, D.C., and we rolled in there into D.C. May 1st of 2020 for May Day. We call it May Day, and we parked trucks on both sides of Constitution Avenue on the south lawn of the White House, and we stayed there for most of them stayed for 21 days. There was a small faction that stayed for another additional 3 days. So we have a lot in common because you guys did it in Canada for 3 weeks. We did it in the United States for 3 weeks. I think yours was a lot more effective. And here's why I say that, because you guys brought to light major, major corruption in your government, major corruption. And the way your prime minister handled himself throughout that process was disgraceful. Our president at the time was President Trump. He actually sent out the protesters at one point, a bag of baseball hats that said Make America Great and USA. And about a week or two later, he sent out every single truck on Constitution Avenue with the presidential seal bag of Hershey Kisses. And people are like, oh, big deal, you got a president. Ooh, you sat there for 3 weeks, you got a president. Hey, you know what? Our president at least acknowledged that we were there, wasn't a dick about us being there, and actually sent us out a token of his appreciation and let us sit there without sending in the Gestapo to beat the shit out of us like they did to you guys in Ottawa. So there is a big difference, you know. Did we get anything done? We got the hours of service changed in our country within about a week in the trucking industry. But what they're scared of here, Rooster, now is the trucker, the American convoy, the people's convoy. That's why they blocked off all the exits going to downtown D.C. because they're scared that we are going to replicate what you guys did in Ottawa, and they do not want that publicity. They're scared to death of it. They'd rather take the hit of constitutional violations for blocking a freedom of right to travel and freedom of speech than have the nightmare that you guys created in Ottawa. And so tell me, when you got to Ottawa, and you, like you said, you moved your way up, what was the general feeling with everybody there? Was it everybody just proud to be there? And tell us a little bit how that felt just to be there with that large amount of a group of people.
Buddy, it was literally like fucking Mardi Gras in a sense. The joy and the happiness and the fucking tears and the hugs and the love and like it was almost like a Mardi Gras in a sense. That feeling, just joy. You know what I mean? I mean, it was like that right across the country as well, and all the small communities, you know, all the way across. You know, 1 o'clock in the morning, -30, going across Ontario, and there's fucking people out beside on the side of the highway with their flags and fucking bonfires going, waiting for us to go by, and it was just downtown Ottawa. You know what? It's really fucking hard to explain the feeling, to be honest with you, because it was like something. It was out of this world. I don't know if a guy's ever going to be able to recapture that again, to be honest with you. But just the hope and the fucking. You know, unfortunately, TikTok ended up deleting one of my accounts with 70,000 fucking followers on it because obviously there was too much truth involved in there. But I mean, it's kind of sad. If I could have went back now, I know, you know, I would have recorded everything and then posted it and instead of just trusting that app, right? But it was overwhelming, to be honest with you. Like, people were just alive. They felt alive. They were saying, "My God, like we haven't felt hope." They felt oppressed for the last 2 years, and I mean, they just literally, we felt like fucking rock stars, and we were being treated. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah, no, it's a sense of patriotism, because when I left Minnesota, I went in my personal vehicle, and I joined up with them when they were in Indianapolis. So they'd already made half the country trek. And I caught up to them between Indianapolis and somewhere in Ohio. But it took me literally all day from when I hit the back of that convoy to get 6 miles to the front of the convoy. And the scenes of people standing on overpasses, in rest areas, standing on the side of the road, in the middle of fields, people in wheelchairs, elderly people, that said, and I'm getting goosebumps just talking about it. The media never showed any of that, none of it. All you seen was on video. And I'm going to tell you something. The amount of people, and I know you guys had a lot of people standing out there supporting you as well we did. And that feeling, when you drive and you see that with your own two eyes, I had goosebumps for 200 or 300 straight miles. And honestly, like you said, I don't think you could ever replicate that ever again. That was history in the making in both of our countries. And I can't even describe it to make people feel how you and I feel right now.
Right.
But the stories, the stories that come with it. Well, go ahead, Rooster.
Yeah, no, like we just spent 3 weeks on Vancouver Island trying to bring the unity and bring people together over there. So the first week we had about 50, second week about 150 vehicles, participants, and then the last one was about 350. So we were bringing it, right? But I mean, I think I did a TikTok about this already. It baffles me that people, how they've taken basically that joy and all that stuff, and they've turned it into, it's kind of a shit show, right? It's kind of all gone into egos, and all these convoys are still running around and stuff like that, trying to replicate that. We're doing one on May 7th in Kelowna, actually. That's going to be coming up here right away. And I'll be posting about that one later. I think for what's going on up here, that's going to be about the closest as we're going to get to replicating that again, that feeling that we sort of kind of had in Ottawa. But you're right, though, man. Totally. I got goosebumps right now thinking about it, and I do every time. You know, that's just it's just such an incredible – it was such an incredible journey. And it was – like, I mean, I never realized that we'd be picking such a fight when we got there. I figured we'd get there, you know, we'd show our chicken shit prime minister would come and talk to us, which he didn't. He decided he was going to fucking be Sasquatch and be the best fucking hide-and-go-seek guy there was on the planet, and still is, right? So it's just amazing what happened, and it just started. It's just basically, it's just fueled the fire here for a whole bunch of us, right? So now it's a media war, right? And it always has been. But now it really is because of the censorship and all that shit. There's a lot more people that are for us than there is against us. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And that's the thing. You guys, when did you guys start getting negative media coverage? Was it immediately, or did that? Because I watched that very closely from the time you guys started until I got booted off of Facebook and I couldn't watch it anymore because I gained so many Canadian followers on my Facebook. I think I gained like 7,000 followers from Canada, including one of the organizers, Tamara Leach. And
right?
Is that how you pronounce her name? Leach, right?
Yeah, Tamara.
Tamara Leach?
Yeah.
Yeah. Me and her were friends on Facebook, and I messaged with her, and then I got blocked, so I lost all my contact information with her. But I fortunately had contact information through my phone with other Canadian people, and I didn't stop. Right before I got blocked on Facebook, I did a slow roll with some friends of mine up from Fargo, North Dakota, up to Pembina, North Dakota, to the border. Well, we didn't go quite to the border because we weren't able to, but we started with four trucks, and we ended up with 40 vehicles by the time we got up to Pembina, and about 75 to 100 people. That's how fast these things grow.
Right.
And you and I have been involved with, and you guys are still going at it. And so are we down here. I'm just not included with them right now. Not that I don't support them, not that I don't want to be there, but I've got to plan my stuff out a little bit before I can do that. But I probably will join them here within the next two to 3 weeks again for an extended period of time, because I care about not only the United States, but for you guys, because we,
right.
and the Australians, the New Zealanders, everybody that is Austria that is facing these ridiculous COVID mandates. Now with all the information that we have about all of this stuff, they can't stop what's coming.
Mm-hmm.
So
they can't. No,
Go ahead, Rooster. Let me just tell you, we have a 1 second delay in between when I talk or you talk or anybody talks, and you think I might think you're done talking or you might think I'm done talking. So please don't be offended if somebody jumps in, or because we're not offended, we're used to it now. So what I usually do is just say, I'll stop and say, go ahead, and then I'll finish whatever I'm going to say later. So. Because what I have to say is it isn't important anyway. But go ahead, Rooster. What were you going to say?
I was just going to say, obviously the original convoy was, we were standing up and we were tired of the shit that was happening here. And that's basically turned into raising awareness now and bringing to light this World Economic Forum shit that's happening that's threatening all of us right now. And it's amazing to me how many people are blind to actually what's going on, and the propaganda and all this shit on the media that has everybody so brainwashed. That's what we're doing now, is when we're bringing awareness, we're spreading awareness, right? As far as opening up people's eyes. And I got thousands of freaking comments on, for people that, you know, didn't even know about this stuff before because, you know, it's tinfoil hat bullshit, right? Well, it just seems to be that it's the tinfoil hat guys like us that are becoming proven right more and more all the time here, you know, because, I mean, these guys are just blatantly doing this now. They're not even trying to hide what they're doing anymore, you know?
Exactly. They're right out in the open. We were the conspiracy theorists when we all come out and said that these vaccines are going to kill people. They're going to cause major side effects. And now you know what? Moderna comes out, Pfizer comes out. Between the two of them, we're not even including Johnson & Johnson, between Moderna and Pfizer, we're talking over 300,000 adverse side effects, including myocarditis, heart attacks, strokes, thrombosis, people that have permanent tremors. We're talking people that are permanently disabled. You look at all the sports figures that are falling over dead that are in their early 20s all the way up into their mid-30s with heart attacks, whether playing soccer, playing basketball, high school kids. And you still want to call us conspiracy theorists? Why? Because you didn't hear it on CNN? You didn't hear it on Fox News? Did you know that CNN, MSNBC, NBC, ABC, all of them, they're all working for the same people? And when you said Klaus Schwab, you struck a chord with me, because Klaus Schwab has bragged about owning governments worldwide. And you see what hell happened in Australia. That was a complete lockdown. You guys weren't very far behind. And he bragged that he owns most of Parliament in Canada. Well, not most of. I think he said 40%. But that 40% is enough to cause a big riff in that country. So tell us, Rooster, before we get on with this, I want our audience to know, what kind of lockdowns were you guys experiencing in Canada that triggered you guys to get so pissed off to say, you know what, we're having a convoy and we're going to stop this shit right now?
I think, like, to say, well, basically what happened to Australia, you couldn't go into a restaurant. You couldn't, like, you know, the mask mandates, the, I think it was the threat basically of, it's just, I don't know, man, just loss of freedom. Like, when you need a fucking pass, like, I mean, but this was the digital passport coming into play as well, right? So it's such a whole gamut of things that were, you know, it's a whole pile of stuff. I know that the convoy was under the guise of vax mandates for crossing the border was what everybody was thinking, but it was so much fucking more than that, man. You know what I mean? And it still is now.
Yeah.
It still is. It's the awareness of the fucking World Economic Forum, and it's about 70% of the parliament in Canada that he's infiltrated, right? So, and Klaus Schwab started this all in 1971. So, I mean, there's billions of dollars invested in this. If you go look at the World Economic Forum and the companies that are involved in the World Economic Forum, there's over 2,000 of them. And you can go right onto their website. And they're not even fucking hiding this. And it shows you all the companies that are involved with them from A to Z, man.
No, you're exactly right.
And it's all right there. And these people are all part of this. Now, it's the upper echelons and all of these that are part of this, obviously, because their employees are all, you know, like they got mass mandates for all these different companies within the organizations, like whatever, Tim Hortons and these other companies that are still forcing people to wear masks in their, in the establishments, right? Or you still lose your job, right? So, we're not done at all. By a long shot, and I just know that we're running out of time pretty quick here, because once they come out with this digital passport shit, we're screwed.
Yeah, no, I you're exactly right. And people they're too lazy to go look it up, or they think it's so outlandish or so far out there. Because I was one of those not too long ago that when I heard people like yourself or even myself talking now, I thought, oh, for Christ's sake, what? You guys quit eating or drinking the Kool-Aid. Go put your tinfoil hat on. I got better things to do. But then I had a transformation, and I've explained this on the show, and I ain't going to get into it, but all of a sudden I started reading into this stuff. And the deeper down the rabbit hole I went, the more disturbed I became, because the shit that we talk about is so out there. Like, that can't be true. There's no way that any of this could be true, right? Then all of a sudden, you figure it out that, holy shit, not only is it true, but they're doing it right beneath our noses, and they're using their little propaganda and their little narrative tricks and going through the media. And they think it's one or two people. This is so large. This is huge. There are people involved worldwide governments, by the way. By the way, I also found out that Zelensky in Ukraine is the cousin of George Soros. But that's for another show. Yeah. Ain't that something? George Soros,
right,
is one of the biggest provocateurs on this planet for the left. And he funds a lot of this with his $1 billion. Funny thing about George Soros is he grew up in Nazi Germany. He grew up and basically sold out relatives, and they got killed, and he got to live. This man is a sick son of a bitch, and that's my opinion on him. I don't like him. I think he's a sick son of a bitch. And a lot of the left, we're talking federal judges here in the United States, state judges, district judges, all the way up to your politicians, your Congress, your Senate. You're seeing a lot of that with the votes that, well, why would Mitt Romney do this, or why would so-and-so do that? Because they've been bought and paid for, ladies and gentlemen. And that's the same thing that's been happening in Canada with Rooster. That's why there's guys like him up there, guys like me down here, and Mike Lannis, Brian Brazzi with the People's Convoy, and all those, that fine group of people, the People's Convoy down here, that are still to this day fighting. That's why they're in California standing up in Sacramento. That's why Rooster and all those people up in Canada are still fighting, because we see what's going on. And we want to stop it. We want to save our freedoms that we enjoyed for our children and our grandchildren. So go ahead.
You know, it fucking baffles me, because it's all there. Anybody can go and look at this to see that we're telling the truth. We're not fucking making this shit up. It's all right fucking there. There's a group I'm involved in right now called the Global Difference Group. And I'm very grateful for them. Because I've been, you know, pretty educated up on this stuff right now. And again, it's all right there. It's all, you know, but people are just too goddamn lazy to go and look for themselves. And a lot of people, I believe, are so in their comfort zone. You know, there's a 40% right now that are kind of, we got to, you know, in a fence sway. You know what I mean? You got your 30 that believe. You got your 30 that fucking just don't believe, and then there's a 40. There's about a 40% in the middle, and I think that goes. I think that's across North America. It's my assumption, right? I know assumptions make asses, but that's just kind of what we're looking at, and it's those people that we're trying to get to. You know what I mean? Because I don't know. I don't believe that we're actually going to be able to stop what's coming, because they've invested. You know, I mean, got 30 years into this, and billions of dollars into this. These guys have invested. I don't believe we're going to be able to stop it. But we'll get into that after. We'll talk about maybe solutions after here right now. But it's just the media's got everybody so bloody brainwashed, you know. And it's all right there.
It's horrible.
Like, we're not making any of this up. It's all out there for you to look at. And it's you know what I'm saying? So it's just getting that out.
Yeah, well, no. You touched on something that kind of triggered something in my mind, talking about the media having everybody brainwashed. I bet people don't realize that Germany, of all places, Germany, where the propaganda machine was created in Nazi Germany, they are teaching their high schoolers about American media propaganda. And I've said this on the show before, and I'll say it again. It's called the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act. It was put in place in 2012 under Barack Obama. And I'm not even going to get into my conspiracy theories about Barack Obama, but him being at the White House on Tuesday and watching how Joe Biden acted and what Biden or what Obama said made me puke, quite literally. It was disgusting. But the leftists cheered it on, of course. And the funny thing is I used to be a lefty, and I would have probably clapped my hands too. Oh, it's so good to see, our greatest president back in the White House. No, that's not how I acted. This time it made me sick to my stomach because I've woken up. I'm not woke. I'm awakened. But they study American propaganda in high school in Germany because of the propaganda that comes out of our media. And if you look up the Smith-Mundt, M-U-N-D-T, Modernization Act, you can see that they legalized state-sponsored propaganda through our media here in the United States. So, you know, earlier I talked about kind of switching subjects, but not really a little bit, but the People's Convoy went down to D.C. and they were blocked by police, snowplow trucks or city trucks or whatever you want to call them. They wouldn't let them get off the exits because they were scared that they were going to replicate what Ottawa did. And that's against our constitutional rights. You guys were able to actually get to your parliament, and you were there. How many trucks did you guys have there for the 22 days that you were there, Brewster?
I didn't walk around and count them all myself, but I mean, oh man, fuck it. We had, there was either 500 or 700 of us that were downtown, kind of scattered in our own little communities and stuff, along with Wellington full of them right in front of the parliament.
Okay, 500 to 700. That's when you talk about trucks, that's pretty impressive. But how did how did the police originally start treating you when you guys were there the first, you know, week or so?
They were great. They were great. They were just walking around in their crews and stuff, and they were actually really good. They were working with us. I know that the organizers were dealing with them and talking with them, everything was really respectful, to be honest with you. It was great. I think it was about the third night some shit started happening there. You know, I mean, obviously they had people out there to cause shit, and so it was about the third night stuff started happening. And I know there was one instance for sure that I was involved in where some bad guys were messing with a truck and there was a police car watching the whole thing happen. And then it ended up getting de-escalated by some of the guys that were out there on some of the protesters. And the bad guys walked over to the police car and then they had a discussion and the bad guys walked off. So that was just one of the instances that I saw. But it was pretty good. I mean, it was probably about the second week there that they started to try and, you know, there was, you know, threatening to take children away from people that were out there camping and all that stuff started. But on the onset, everything was fine. There was some of the police officers were actually hugging the crowds and stuff like that, right? So.
And you guys actually had, at one point, brought in bouncy houses and stuff. It was almost like a county fair, what we call them here in the States, like a little, you know, entertainment for the children. And there was people making food. And, I mean, it was like a true brother and sisterhood, like a family thing, right?
It absolutely was, man, yeah. Yeah, but they did up on Wellington there by the main stage there. They had a bouncy castle set up. And it was full all the time with the kids playing and that. And, yeah, there was all – I know where we were on Albert and Kent, Todd and Cynthia were there, and they were kind of feeding us on that block. It was we kind of almost had, like, our own little neighborhoods within neighborhoods, right? Everybody out there for the same cause. Just a complete family atmosphere. Hockey games. We had a hockey rink set up in our intersection. You know, it was just complete
That's
and utter
awesome.
Love. Complete and utter love is all it was, man. And the way it should be. And I mean, you know, they call us, our fucking Trudeau calls us racist and he calls us misogynist and he's calling us terrorists, right? And that's what he's telling the fucking mainstream media that we are. We had every race and creed down there, man, and including in this convoy all the way. And I mean, I got friends that are from India, and I got friends from Croatia, and I've got friends from Jamaica. There's no racism up here, right? That's the fucking division that these in their mainstream media is trying to push with everybody to make us look like the bad guys so they can fucking carry out their agenda.
Yeah, and it happened here too. In 2020, though, under Trump, we had a very large group of Eastern Europeans. We had a large group of Cuban immigrants, so a few Hispanic ladies and gentlemen, and just American people all together. And there was some tension at first for the first 3 or 4 days, but then we started talking amongst each groups. And within the next week and a half, we were having birthday parties for people that were having birthdays right there on Constitution Avenue. They set up a grill tent where everybody would grill their food. We would have custom dishes from the Eastern Europeans, from the Cuban family. They were cooking breakfast, dinner, and supper. The Secret Service, Metro Police, they were all coming over. We were feeding them. It just like you guys. Now you fast forward to the People's Convoy 2 years later, and people are pissed off in this country, in your country, and you're going to get a faction that join you that don't understand quite what you're trying to do. They have one way of thinking about what we need to do, and I happen to mainly agree with what we probably need to do without coming out and saying it, but they're trying to do what we need to do first the right way, get your politicians on board and so on and so forth. What hurt us is we had a guy come up on the stage down in Hagerstown, and not that I agree with him or that I disagree with him, but he said, we're going to go down to Constitution Avenue and we're going to go to the BLM street and we're going to tar and feather it. And then we're going to go and tar and feather their delegates. Now, it just wasn't a good thing to say for the simple fact that now you just gave the media ammunition. And those people that were on the fence that didn't really know what was going on, that listened to media and believed the media, you just turned them against us. Whether I agree with him or not, I'll tell you one thing. I've done a lot of research into BLM and the higher-ups in their organization, and I think they're crooks. And I think they're using people to get rich, and they could give a flying F less about me, you, or anybody else. It's not about Black Lives Matter to them. And now the Democratic Party is using them as people to enforce their radical ideologies onto people like myself that are either conservative or in the middle that love this country, and call us racist at every move. So when you have a political it's volatile politically here in the country. When you have that, and then you have somebody like that gentleman, not that he was wrong or he was right, but to stand up there not thinking, God, what's this going to do to the People's Convoy if I say this, saying we're going to go tar and feather BLM Street, and then we're going to tar and feather their delegates. It hurt us in the public eye. You got to be careful with separating your beliefs and your emotions with what the plan is, what the agenda is. And what I wanted to say to you, Rooster, is what you guys did there in Canada was an inspiration not only to me but to all of us down here in the States and worldwide, because no matter what, how many times you guys were antagonized, you guys kept it peaceful. Tell the audience some of the stories of you guys being antagonized, because they need to hear that.
So there's that one, like I said, about this, you know, the couple of guys were, you know, beating the shit. You know, there's so many, man. There's so many. Like, I mean, I joke about it all the time, and I started joking about this as soon as he got there. This was way different than a BLM rally with a bunch of 20-year-old fucking brainwashed meatheads that are out there just kind of, they're basically trained to cause violence. They're trained to cause shit, right? So it was a lot different here because the adults were in town. So every time they tried to do something, I mean, I can tell you stories about myself personally. And the rest, you know, I mean, I've heard other things. Nobody was lying down here. They had no reason to be. But I know myself. They had these, I think they were the Durant police, you guys, and they were dressed in black and they had red toques on. And so I know myself personally, I was walking along, coming from Wellington back down to Albert Kent over to where we were. And there was about six of them lined up along the wall. And it was just me and there was some other people kind of in the distance, right? There was a couple of blocks there that they had quarantined off, where they had us held up so we couldn't get right up to that to Wellington off of Albert. But walking along, and then one steps out and shoves me, just about knocks me down. You know what I mean? And then right, and then one on the far end is sitting there with a phone and with his camera out, right? So there you go. So right there, if I would have fucking pushed back or done anything like that, that would have went on the media, and that would have fucking finished us right there, right? So they had bricks piled down in barricade, like certain areas. They had a fucking container, like a bin full of fucking rocks sitting there. So they basically had it set up to do some bad shit. But just like I say, we wouldn't bite. And there's so many of them kind of stories. Like the police would come and they would start harassing a family that was in a car. You know what I'm saying? And somebody mm-hmm. would get on the radio and say, hey, we need some folks over here. So they're standing over there with 30 cops. So next thing you know, there's 100 truckers come running down there, and we get in between them and the car, right? Leave us alone. We're not doing, you know what I'm saying? So there was so many of them, man. I'll try and think of some more as we go here. But I mean, like, there were so many, just this stupid little nonsense. The media, here's one for you. I sat there and I watched CBC. So we had the Parliament grounds, and there was probably, I don't know, 100,000 people at the Parliament grounds. And this guy set up, he's got the camera pointing up this little hill. There's 12 people up there and a dog shitting on a tree. So that guy is standing there, and that's the background he's talking. You know what I'm saying? And that's what they're filming. And we were all there with our phones and stuff, and we're like, what are you doing, man? Turn around. Why are you fucking lying? So, you know what I mean? So we kind of made their eyes a little bit of hell, I guess, because, I mean, it's just baffles me. Like, I don't know. I get a little pissed off here when I think about that. There was so much of that shit. I also sat there and I watched CBC again interview this guy from a homeless shelter. And the guy was saying, oh my God, I've never felt so safe walking around downtown. Like, this is crazy. Like, I love having, like, this is just awesome. The love and the joy and stuff. And these guys are donating so much food to us. Like, we are afraid that we're going to have to maybe ship it somewhere else, because we don't want it to go bad because there's so much. And So then I watched the news clip later on, and they showed this lady from a hospital that said that she was getting harassed by truck drivers. And all they put from this guy's comment on that fucking, on that clip was, I'm afraid. They cut everything else out that he said, and that's what went on the news. I was so fucking mad when I saw that.
Yeah, because they accused you guys of stealing. The truckers were stealing from a homeless shelter. There's a big story on that, and if you dig deep into that, the guy that owns that homeless shelter is actually one of Trudeau's cronies, and Trudeau's corrupt. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I've watched him very closely in Parliament. I watched him push a lady out of the way. I watched him yell at another guy because he was upset he wasn't getting his way, and now he's teamed up with Jake, what is his name? Jake Meat Cheek. Is that his name?
Jagmeet fucking Singh. Yes, sir.
Yes, they're seeing, yes. Can't go back to his own country because he's a terrorist, but he's serving in the Canadian government. Okay. And now he's hooked up with Justin Trudeau. And...
yeah.
They both all got ties to, who do they got ties to? Rooster, I'm going to let you tell the answer to that one.
Well, they're all members of the World Economic Forum, my friend. That's Mr. Klaus Schwab. And so everybody's got to realize here, neither one of our countries are being run by federal governments anymore, man. We're being run by international fucking corporations. And a lot of people don't realize that. Everybody's running around here trying to get the next MP that's going to make a difference in their community. Well, the reality is, when there's 70% of them in the office already, you're not going to weed it out. It's not going to go away. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're exactly right. And in Congress, here in the States, how many congressmen do we have? Chris, help me out with this one. I think it's 400 and what is it?
435 representatives and 100 senators.
Okay, yes. So we have two senators per state. We have 50 states. Okay, but there's 435 congressmen. And out of those 435... do you know how many are actually registered under the Socialist Party? 236. 236 that are actually registered. How many more of those are rhinos? And a rhino is R-I-N-O, which is Republican in name only, which means they run as a Republican because they know they'll get elected that way, and then they side with the Democrats, or I should call them socialists, because not all Democrats are bad, but a good majority of them are, because they are involved with the World Economic Forum. They were trained under Klaus Schwab, and I don't have that information as far as what that training program is called, but I will get that, and I will put that on air one of these first days, because we're not going to stop talking about it. That's what's going on, not only in Canada and the United States. The New Zealand's prime minister, close association with Klaus Schwab, Austria, Germany, it goes right on down, Australia, all the way down the line, every country. These people have been strategically placed in every government, and as they're placed, they add more and more. This is a plan that's been going on for decades, if not over half a century. This, they will not stop, and they've been very good about it. They've got media worldwide that push their agenda that are paid by these people. They have a social media account, Facebook, numerous Twitter. All these big tech companies are being paid and then pay the little guy off. You see the Hunter Biden laptop story. That should be the headline news on every newspaper worldwide. And there should be an indictment. And people that were involved in that should go down. It won't. They won't. In my opinion, like I've said before, the only thing that's going to stop this is another worldwide, not the United States or Canada, worldwide revolution. And you're talking good men having to do bad things. And I think that's where we're at, where people are actually coming up. They're thinking that that's exactly what needs to be done, but they're trying to, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for, probably trying to soak that in and come to terms with that before somebody actually pops off and does something, because we're not violent people. We just want to live our lives and be left alone.
We're not at all. I mean, the majority of the population anywhere is not at all what these maniacs are trying to make us out to be. The reason that they're making us out to be that, and they're controlling all the media, and they're fucking playing the propaganda thing, is because their agenda is to depopulate the planet, 5.5 billion people, because these fucking maniacs think that, because that's their idea. It's not your idea. You've got no choice. We're all fucking, when you come to the realization that all the way back since the start, you know, when these guys, these families, created the financial system, the education system, all that stuff that we've all been brainwashed into believing we have to go to school and get a college education and all this horseshit. This has all been for profit, right? For fucking decades, this has all been for profit. But, I mean, that's got, like, I know there's a lot of people that are just still fucking, you know, they can't handle that realization that this is kind of, it's been directed. Our entire fucking existence has been directed by these fucking people who have done all this decision making on our behalf.
Yeah. And it's a hard pill to swallow, because when I finally figured it out, I had a nervous breakdown. I ain't gonna lie.
Right.
I literally lost my ever loving mind, because I'm like, holy shit, my whole existence has been a lie, because my parents taught me this. They didn't know any better either. But now we're waking up. And, well, you could probably thank the internet for that and people that dig a little bit deep. But now they're panicky, and now they're warning us, hey, there's going to be a cyber attack, and it's going to come from Russia.
Right.
And
no.
The reason they say that, no. Because they know that we know, and they don't want any more of this information to get out.
Yeah, and that's so now, I mean, there's a bunch of people that are mad at us about the convoy because we exposed all this horseshit, and now they're speeding stuff up now because we are getting awake. More people are waking up every day, and we're talking thousands every day are coming to the realization that, wait a minute, hang on a second. So the coronavirus pops out all of a sudden out of the fucking blue. 5G towers are going up all over the place during the fucking first lockdown. Then you know, you got Bill Gates on there saying there's another one going to come out that's going to be even worse. Well, how the fuck do you know that if you didn't make it, you jackass?
Yeah, exactly. You know, they're fast-tracking everything right now because we are putting out way too much information at one time. And way too many people are waking up at one time. And it's scaring the shit out of them because they know if we catch them soon enough, but like you said, we're running out of time. But if we get people to wake up soon enough and we get the population to say, holy shit, I get it, what are we going to do? Then that's when the shit starts. But it's not going to start until then. We have to keep on doing what we're doing, all of us. And it's going to take all of us. But before we go on, I just want to mention, if you guys are listening to the show and you want to get on and call in and share your opinion or ask Rooster or myself a question or Chris a question, that phone number, the guest call-in number, is 516-387-1733. That is 516-387-1733. And once you get through onto the phone line, in order to get on air, just press the number 1 that raises your hand on my switchboard. Lets me know that you have something to say. I see we already got one on there. Before I get to you, caller, 6114 and 5911, I will get to you guys shortly. Please be patient, but I want to give Chris an opportunity to ask Rooster anything maybe that Chris popped into his head that he wants to talk to Rooster about. So, Chris, I'm going to give the floor to you, and then we'll take a couple callers.
You know, I'll keep it short. I want to get our callers on here. Rooster, thanks for being here tonight. It's awesome to hear from you, and so courageous what you guys did up there in Canada. And I really don't have any questions for you, but, you know, thank you for being here to expose. Like, people don't understand these staged media incidents, you know, like you were talking about, where Antifa goes out and physically, you know, shoves people and hits people and tries to provoke a reaction while someone films it so they can only put the part where you hit back and say that you know, these people were assaulting, you know, counter-protesters. So like, people don't understand that there really is a truly corrupt media game like that is being played out, you know. And I think back to when we had the lockdown protests that were happening, there was one at the state capitol in Michigan, and they ran this big headline. It was a picture of a guy in scrubs with his mask on, and he was standing out in the road, seemingly stopping the protesters that were circling the capitol. He's standing out in front of them like he's got traffic stopped, holding a sign, and I don't remember exactly what it said, but it basically alluded to an anti-protester message. And they ran the headline, they ran the picture of that, you know, with, you know, medical staff at the hospital are frustrated with the protesters. And fortunately, there was a popular TikToker that just happened to be out there and kind of saw something was going on. The guy in scrubs walked up with a camera crew behind him. They stood there on the sidewalk. The traffic light turned red. Obviously, the protesters stopped. They weren't violating traffic laws. They came to a stop for the red light. And as soon as they stopped for the red light, he ran out there. He held up the sign and stood in front of them looking real defiant. And they took the picture. And the TikToker was filming this the whole way. And actually, they ran from her as she, you know, walk, you know, chase them down the street saying, hey, why did you just stage that picture? You know, so people don't realize that game's going on. And man, you know, thanks for being out here and doing everything that you do and getting the following you get, because man, you're right. It's, you know, it's us digital soldiers right now that are struggling to get the real story of everything that's happening out to people against the system that is clearly trying to stop us from getting that information out. So thank you.
Well, thank you. And again, thank you guys as well. And you're exactly right. There's so much of that stuff that goes on. And this is what baffles me. This is the fucking people that actually do that. Like, I don't know what motivates them to be blatant fucking bullshitters and to play that card. Like, I'd really like to fucking have somebody explain that to me. What, did they pay you to do this shit? Like, I, you know what I'm saying? I know for us, like, there was a whole bunch of us. We were getting, yeah, you know, they're, you had the government calling up companies, threatening the companies to pull drivers' fucking, you know, registrations, cancel insurances. You had them fucking calling up people, like, you know, phone, like, death threats, all this shit for some of us, right? And you know what I mean? So that's real stuff. And people don't know that stuff either. They don't get that our fucking government or their paid fucking cronies are actually, and it's, I don't know. That's what I mean. Like, they're so damn brain. Do you think if they realize that they might be one of the 5.5 billion people that these guys are trying to get rid of off this fucking planet for their own personal agenda and their own personal idea, do you think they'd be willing to fucking go and make up more mock shit then? I'm going to say
no,
probably not.
Exactly.
Right? So, love you guys for what you're doing. I honestly really do. And I really appreciate you guys. And you've inspired me now. I mean, I got my little Cheryl, who was down in Ottawa with us, a good friend of ours here. Her and I are talking about starting a doing a podcast here as well now. So just to start pumping us out some more. As far as I'm concerned, to be honest with you guys, the convoy days, the convoy did its job. The convoy's done its part. Now it's getting everybody and getting the message out is the, really the main
exactly.
focus. And that's for me now, that's the fucking panic, is to wake people up and get this fucking message out, right? And
yeah, no, you're exactly right.
What's next? What are we going to do? We know this is happening. Everybody's fucking running around talking about the fucking the problems. We need the solution. What are we going to do to battle these fuckers, right?
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. Let's take a caller, and we got two on there that want to add their opinion on. And before I get to you callers, there's only two rules on the show when you call in. The number one rule is if you disagree with me, Rooster, Chris, that's okay. You're allowed to do that. But rule number two, you're going to be respectful about it. If you get on here and start screaming, cussing, and calling names, my phone line tends to have glitches, and you will be removed. But back to rule number one, you can disagree. You're allowed to do that. That's called freedom. That's called freedom of speech, freedom of thought. But get on here and do it in a civil manner, because after
right.
all, this is our radio show, not yours. So
that's right. That's
with
right.
that being
we're,
said.
We're in your house. We're in your house right
yeah.
now, so exactly. You get to hit that fucking escape button whenever you want. So, but I encourage disagreement, and I encourage it, to be honest with you, because I'm all about change. Like, I'm all about changing fucking direction here and perception. Not changing, I guess, but trying to redirect, because there's so many people that are, like I say, just whatever. It's a lifelong. It's been years and years and years of brainwashing going on here. So let's get
absolutely
at it, boys.
There is. All right, let's do it. Okay, so 6114, if your last four digits are 6114, you're going to be on the air right now. I'm putting you on. And as soon as there, you're on the air. Who do we have on tonight?
Hi, this is the dreaded Prometheus. My name is Gary, and I'm calling from Ontario, Canada.
Hey.
Hello, Rooster. How's
hey, Gary.
Things? We all came to support Rooster. He's somebody we know and came to listen to your show tonight with him.
Nice.
I've been
did you have something that you wanted to add?
I did. We also work towards solutions-based discussions. And our group, we actually work to bring those solutions into reality. Now, I have my own opinion on the convoy, specifically the Ottawa convoy. That doesn't resonate well with a lot of people. Rooster knows my stance. He knows why. We've shown some factual context to kind of back up our position. What we have an issue with isn't the intent of the convoy or the goals that some of them had, as much as the delivery. You guys mentioned about organizers that tend to take advantage of situations. You mentioned specifically BLM and their organizers. The problem is many of these movements have that same problem, and they take people and mislead them down a path that doesn't bring tangible results, typically at their expense. The convoy at Ottawa was illegal, point blank, on a couple different levels. The people that participated and supported, sadly, got roped into that because they didn't understand the law. This is a problem. Now, all that aside, Rooster just mentioned about how or where to go next. And that should be the focus for a lot of these groups that proclaim themselves patriotic freedom fighters and all this wonderful stuff. Sadly, most of them just have no little understanding of what that actually means or what that actually is. You know, you mentioned a couple of things like Soros. Soros is not a thing. Soros is a musician. He's a middleman, right? You guys address the World Economic Forum. That actually is the thing. You talked a little bit about that and what it looks like, some of these influences from these major corporations. That is the problem. You talked about the U.S. Congress. He mentioned about how the Canadian cabinet is literally infiltrated. It's not just the governments. It's everything. You have the NGOs, the UN, the World Economic, you know, the WHO, the IMF, the World Bank, all influenced by people sitting on the board of trustees of the World Economic Forum, influencing their direction.
UN.
It's in education, healthcare. It's in governments. It's in finance. And the worst part is, it's not the government or even the World Economic Forum or the elite that's doing it. It's us. How do you think they got there? With our money. Everything you do in your life, pay them to be there. As we complain about these things, the solution is not going to be at the end of a rifle. This isn't 1776. All right? You are in an economic war, not a physical war. If you don't understand the difference, there's little of, you know, little anything of consequence people can contribute if they don't understand reality for what it is. I like Rooster. I like his message. I like his dedication. There's many people like Rooster all over the world, yourself included, doing what you think is that you need to do. But you literally are running out of time. And as you focus on the systemic outcomes, you're dropping the ball by not addressing the root core. People like you with a voice, people like Rooster with a voice, others, you talk about unity, but everybody's doing their own brand, working against each other. Until that changes,
so Gary,
don't expect to change.
What is there? Are you involved with a website or anything like that where we can get more information on what you're talking about?
Absolutely, but if you want to have a conversation about that before you have your people follow, you know, listen or whatever, that's absolutely encouraged. I would love sometime when you have some free time to talk to you about it. But I didn't come here to overspun your show. That's not what I intended to do.
No. That's fine, Gary. I appreciate the insight. But so I got your phone number off my switchboard. Is it okay if I put that on my phone and give you a call tomorrow?
100%. 100%.
Okay. So I just wanted to, because I asked people that before. I don't want them to feel like,
no,
I'm a stalker.
That's appreciated.
Like
that. You know what? I stalk myself on a daily basis, so I'm not concerned with who has that number.
Okay. Well, I don't put people's phone numbers out there because my phone number got leaked, and now I get threats.
It causes problems, doesn't it?
Yeah, it was on a daily basis for a while, and then it kind of is dwindled down a little bit, and now I don't even answer. One of the threats actually claimed to be, you don't know who you're fucking with. And I said, oh, okay, who's that? And he said, you ever heard of BlackRock? And they said, look it up. And I'm like, right away, I'm like, dude, BlackRock's worth trillions of dollars. They're not going to send
They're
me a little peon text message to tell
right.
me that that's who's messing with me. So
if,
get the fuck out of here.
If BlackRock wanted to mess with you, they'd show up at your door.
Oh, they'd make it known that they were after me, yes.
That's right.
They're people that you don't intend to go after. You know what I'm saying? They've got more money than you and I will
daily.
Ever have.
I get insults and death threats daily. It's never from the left. It's always from the right, the patriotic, red-pilled, freedom-fighting community. I'm not moved by that. people like that, like BlackRock, they don't threaten people. They don't talk about it.
No.
They will just send somebody there and you will disappear. But they know.
Exactly.
They know that you aren't of consequence. Nothing you say, truthful or not, is going to affect them. So people that try to use that kind of a concept as a threat of intimidation over social media is woefully ignorant and apathetic to life. They have nothing to contribute. Appreciate it.
Yeah,
you know,
well,
but
I agree.
The number's there. If you'd love to have a call, we'll sit down, we'll make a coffee, and have a chat.
Yeah, I'll do that, Gary. I'll give you a shout tomorrow, and I'll discuss what you're talking about tonight, and we'll have a conversation. But thank
Absolutely.
You for calling in and sharing your insight, my friend.
Yeah,
thanks
thank
for
you.
Giving the minute. Talk to you later, Rooster. You guys enjoy the show or enjoy the night, and thanks for the show.
You
thank
bet.
You.
Thank you. Thanks, I appreciate
it. Thanks for coming on,
bye.
Gary. I'm sorry.
All right. All right, bye. That was Gary, everybody. Now I'll give him a call tomorrow and touch base with him to see what the things that he was saying, and we'll figure that out. And no, I think that was a good idea from him to have me call and we'll just leave it there. Anyway, we got two more callers now, Rooster. They're lining up now, so let's just go right to the next one. 5911. Before I do that, sorry. If you are listening and you want to call in and you want to be live on air, you are able to do that. Get your pen and paper out. I'll give you the phone number so you can call in. You can ask Rooster a question, ask me a question, ask Chris a question. Share your opinion, whether you're in agreeance or disagreeance with us, doesn't matter, as long as you're respectful about it. That phone number is 516-387-1733. 516-387-1733. And make sure when you get through, press the number 1. That pops a hand up on my switchboard. Lets me know that you want to be on air and you want to share your opinion. And before we get on to our next caller, I just want us to thank Unplugged Radio for giving us this platform where we can get on here every Thursday night at 7 o'clock Central Time, bring on anybody we want, completely uncensored, and say whatever we want. We don't have anybody paying us or telling us, well, you can't say that, but you can say this. This is all uncensored, all unscripted, and completely free speech for both sides, even though some nights it might not seem like it. But anyway, let's get to 5911. 5911, I'm bringing you on the air as we speak, and you are on the air, and who do we have tonight?
Yeah, my name's Island Jason. I'm from Vancouver Island, British Columbia. How are you tonight?
I am good, Arlen. Thank you for calling in. And what would you like to add to the conversation tonight?
Well, I would like to say thank you to Rooster. Thank you to Gary. Both these men have opened my eyes up extensively.
And how so?
Well, I was involved. Somewhat of an organizer. I'm not a leader, but I have been working towards organizing the protest convoys on Vancouver Island. It's been a pretty good experience. I've met some pretty interesting people. However, it was brought to my attention that we are probably wasting our efforts doing so, in the fact that these efforts aren't getting any results.
I agree and I disagree. I'll tell you why.
Well,
Rooster.
Okay.
But by the way, we have like a 1 second delay, so if you feel like you're being interrupted, I promise you that nobody's trying to interrupt you. It's just they get confused by the 1 second delay.
The whole thing.
Okay. But here's what I just want to say to you real quick. But as far as not getting anything done, this is where I disagree with you lightly. It's bringing awareness. Those that are not starting to wake up probably never will wake up because their heads are so buried in the sand. They've been brainwashed so bad for as long as they have. Like they literally have to question everything from their beginning of their existence, literally everything. And then they go through a period, because I went through this period. Then I get mad at my mom or my dad or my grandma and my grandpa. Why didn't you tell me about these things? They didn't know either. We are like the generation that's waking up, that are now trying to wake up our parents and our grandparents, and they're like, oh, my God, you've been watching too much this, or you've been looking at too much that. It's quite opposite, that you have been watching news, which they call programming for a reason. They don't lie to you. You know, they make these words up. Just tune into your favorite programming. Oh.
Well, so what do you think the solution to that might be?
I've screamed from the mountaintops to my mom, my dad, my friends, you need to quit watching mainstream media. You got to quit watching the news. Well, you've been on the news. Yes,
start.
I have been on the news.
That's a start. But these guys are publishing. They are publicly addressing us, and nobody is willing to take the time to read the books or listen to what they're saying. This is my point, is that, yeah, you know, I agree with you. I don't think the convoys are a waste of time. We have one planned for this weekend, and I plan to attend. I'm going to be the MC at it. But the idea is that if we could focus these efforts on something that actually brought us all together and educated the people. So the way I look at it is, we in these convoys, in these meetings where you meet all these great people who are like-minded, we are actually building relationships with people that are probably going to, you know, be on our team at the end of it. So in some ways it's a waste of money. I'm spending hundreds of dollars a week, you know, and I'm not rich, you know, I'm just a dumb logger from BC. So in some ways it's helping. In some ways it's just like a fucking waste of money. But that being said, the people that I've met, such as Rooster, such as Gary, those are the people that are going to help us figure out how we can find a solution.
We're getting like-minded individuals together right now, and we're starting. This is what they're scared of, because now they know that we know, and now we're starting to organize. This is just the beginning. This is going to go on.
Last night alone, I had Gary on a TikTok live talking, you know, actually talking about solutions, and we were banned because of misinformation. There was nothing misinformed. We were talking about how we're going to make bread when the shit goes down. It's just so asinine, so fucking out of this world. The people, you know, I'm afraid to talk to people about it. I'm telling my wife to don't tell this person because, you know, I don't want it to affect you. It is fucked up, man, and the only solution is for people to actually learn from themselves by reading and understanding. You know, not everybody reads. There's audio books, but the only way is to educate yourself for yourself, allow yourself the privilege of reading or understanding what they're saying, because they are telling us what they are going to do to us. You know, you talk about stress. I heard you talk earlier about stress and how you're losing sleep. Well, fuck me, man. My wife went in an ambulance to the hospital last week because she had what we thought was a heart attack. We thought, oh, maybe this fucking COVID vaccine that we took a year ago is actually affecting us. Well, it turns out it was a stress-related thing, and it's all because of this. This is what's happening to our country, to your country too. I mean, I'm a Canadian, but this is the kind of thing that we have. We're going to be fucking defeated if we don't figure this out sooner than later. You know, as far as I know, we have about 17 months to figure this out. November 2023, the Great Reset. It's fucked up, man. It's very fucked up.
And you know, Arlen, you were talking about this as a, and here's your words. This is a fucking waste of money. And I'm gonna address that. And I'm not going against you. I want to actually tell you about a conversation I had literally a few hours ago with my own mom. My mom was a little pissed because I told her that Brian Brazzi called me. He's the lead organizer, along with him and Mike Landis and a few others of the People's Convoy. I was involved with all of that at the very beginning. Brian called me today. We had a very nice conversation, me and Brian did, and it has been since the People's Convoy's got going. But my mom said, you know, I heard people say that you're doing this just for attention. And she goes, where the fuck were those people for the last 4 years, Jeremy? And I said, I tell you, Mom, no matter what I do, it's not right. Because for the last 4 years, I've been fighting. I've been, and I'm just going to say this real quick. I started with going to the Minnesota State Capitol. Then I went to the South Dakota State Capitol. Then I went to the Indiana State Capitol. Then I went to Joplin, Missouri. And then I went back to the St. Paul, Minnesota Capitol to stand with the healthcare workers. And then I went to Pembina, North Dakota with a group of people to stand up with you fine folks up in Canada.
Exactly.
And in May of 2020, I went down to Washington, D.C., and stood with over 1,000 truckers down there in a three-week period. And just most recently, I stood with the People's Convoy down in Hagerstown, Maryland. So if you think I'm doing this about for my attention, you're out of your fucking mind.
No,
I do this because it's something that's important to me, and I do it because I believe in it, and I do it so we can try to make change for not me, for all of us. And it's turned in from a trucking issue. It's turned in from that to standing up for our freedoms and my children's freedoms and your children's freedoms and your country and my country. That's what it's turned into. And that's what I'm going to continue to fight for.
Jeremy, I 100% understand where you're coming from. I am in the same boat. I mean, like I told you, I'm involved in planning next weekend's convoy to my little town here. But what I'm saying when I say, you know what, waste of money is a poor choice of words. I think the money could be better directed to other efforts. For example, I have this one woman who's, you know, she's a passionate woman. She's a beautiful person. I absolutely love her. I met her about 6 weeks ago in Victoria. You know, she's a great person. But she's going to the dollar store buying Chinese face paint, fucking crayons, coloring books, all this great stuff for kids. And she's doing it out of the goodness of her heart. But you know what? I have no doubt that she's, you know, sacrificing her own financial security for this. You know, what my point is if we could come together and focus these efforts towards, you know, a communal goal where we had, you know, a solution, an actual solution, rather than just patting each other in the back, telling us how great we are for fucking waving our flags and, you know, fuck Trudeau and fuck this guy and fuck that guy. Trudeau's not the fucking problem. Trudeau could die tomorrow and it wouldn't make a difference one bit. My point is that there is a solution there. I've heard it directly from the mouth of several people that have, even the couple guys that have talked tonight, Rooster and Gary, and it's the global difference. And we need to work towards that same solution. We need to all organize, get together on that before they shut down our fucking internet, before they shut down our communication line. Jeremy, I just want to say thank you. I really appreciate your show. I don't know if I really have much more to add, but thank you very much. Thanks, Rooster.
Well, don't hang up yet, Arlen. Arlen, don't hang up yet because I want to give up an opportunity to Rooster to respond to the whole conversation.
Okay. Okay. Well, it's Island. Island Jason is what I go by. Rooster knows that.
Island Jason. He's 100% correct in what he's saying there. You know, and you are, buddy. And yeah, so. That's the message that we're getting across, and that's what we're trying to educate people about right now here, and that's kind of what I'm still running around doing, right? Because I find that getting a one-to-one with people for myself or a small group that I'm chatting with seems to make a difference, right? It's all about the networking now, and it's not for profit. That's the thing that people don't fucking realize here. I'm not doing this to make money. I'm not a bobblehead on the internet. Neither are you, Jeremy. I mean, we're doing this. It's genuine what we're doing right now because we care and we know what the fuck is happening, right? So,
yeah,
Island
yeah.
Jason, thanks for being here, buddy. I appreciate that, man.
No, you're a local hero, man. Thank you for coming here, and we were really sad to see you have to go home, but we understand and we plan to keep pushing the message.
No, and Island Jason, I got it now. It's Island Jason. Thank you for calling in tonight. We surely appreciate it. I got to get to some more callers. I see one hung up, but that's all right. They can call back. But
awesome.
Thank you so much for sharing your insight on what you believe in, because that's what this is all about, is having dialogue. Because the more dialogue we have, the more we can get on each other's pages, and the more organized we can get to stand up against what is about to come.
And I really think you should take that opportunity to phone Gary and talk to him. That man has really changed my life. So listen to him. He's a smart motherfucker.
Yeah, no, I definitely will do that, my friend. So thank you for calling in tonight. I appreciate you, brother.
Okay, take care, Jeremy. Take care, Rooster.
All right, everybody. That was Island Jason. And the beautiful part about that, and by the way, 5959, I'm coming to you next. What's great about that is you see how you can come in, you can call in, and we'll put you on, and you could share your thoughts, your opinion. Get whatever it is on your chest, get it off. Get it off your chest. And especially with like-minded individuals, and even if you disagree with us, get it off your chest, and let's have a conversation about it. We can have a nice, polite conversation. I didn't 100% agree with everything that Island Jason said, but not one thing that he said offended me. I just shared insights of conversations that I've had and things that have gone on in my life involving the things that I do. And that's okay. That's how dialogue starts. That's how conversations start. And that's how understanding starts. So with that being said, let's just jump right to 5959. I'm going to put you on the air next, and you are on the air. And who do we have?
This is Bidmark Canada. How you all doing?
We're good. How are you doing tonight?
No, not bad, Jeremy. Not bad. Nice to hear y'all. You guys doing your regular thing. And Rooster, way to go, buddy. You're still a hero. I just want to throw a couple of things in there. Gary mentioned earlier about we're into an economic war. And I'm going to add to that a little bit because, he is right. And we're globally into an economic war. The unfortunate thing is, even though people are, we're all against what's coming and, how to look for a solution and stuff like that. The one thing that people don't seem to realize is that every day when they go out, they do the shopping, they pick up their gas, they pay for items that they're, whatever. They're not paying attention to the fact that everything that they do, they usually pay by some kind of a card, whether it be their debit card, Visa card, or they're doing a transaction on their phone through their app or Bank Interact, whatever. And they're not realizing that they're actually contributing to giving these powers exactly what they want. So people need to realize that they got to get away from this digital transaction stuff and go back to cash. Cash is king. And that's the one big issue right off the hop. Now, with that said, I have a little bit of a question for Rooster because when the Freedom Convoy first was on its way into Ottawa, I gave a little bit of a prediction, and I said, okay, this is going to turn out one out of two ways. One way is that Parliament is going to send out some kind of representatives and they're going to sit down at the table and they're going to negotiate some kind of terms and such. Or the second way is, as it turned out, that Trudeau would run and hide into his little hole and the next thing you know, it would turn ugly. And sure enough, it turned out to be the latter of the two. So here's the question, Rooster. Our iron horses are heading up there at the end of the month and they're inviting everybody along with them, including every Canadian and every patriot, trucker, anybody and everybody who wants to head along is invited to go to join into the biker convoy at the end of the month. And my big question is this. My perception, okay, first of all, my perception is I got a feeling that this round two, as they call it, is going to end up being more devastating than what Trudeau did to all of our truckers. So I'm assuming it's going to turn ugly as well. But news came out today which it wasn't shocking. It was just a little bit frustrating to the fact that this is coming out so damn quick, considering the fact that the bikers have only announced that they were going in, I think, a couple of weeks ago. But the news came out today that Trudeau is already, let's say, prepping for the Emergency Measures Act to be implemented when the bikers run through. So my question to you, Rooster, is what's your thoughts on it?
That's a great question. And my answer is probably going to shock a lot of people being who I am. But I honestly, I believe that everybody should stay the fuck away from there, to be honest with you, because of that fact. No, you just got to remember, their agenda is to depopulate the planet. Okay? So the more fucking people in one spot, that's just feeding right into their shit. You know what I'm saying? And not only that, but they're going to manipulate the fucking media. They know there's a good chance they'll do something stupid with the manipulation of the media to make us look like the old fucking misogynist fucking racist terrorist that they're trying to call us, right? Do you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So we got to think. Exactly. The understand you almost got to think like they do, right?
Well, it's a big chess game, so the whole idea is to stay two steps ahead.
Right, but at the same token, you're going into their house.
Oh, right.
Think if somebody would have took a swing, if I would have took a swing at one of them cops that pushed me when I was downtown Ottawa that first few days I was there, that would have been it right then and there. It would have been over. Right? So you're going to have you're going to be a lot more fucking egos involved in this one. Okay? So I believe that the chance of somebody actually starting something is way, way higher than it was the first time here.
Yeah,
well, it's
escalated
times 100.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking the exact same thing because of the fact that the bikers and the Iron Horses, I mean, they have a reputation behind them, and the reputation basically leads the pack rather than what the actual agenda is, which is to go in and represent the people of Canada and represent the country and basically say, hey, look, we've had enough. So we're here to protest basically show our support, and this is what we want, is we just want our country back. We want our freedoms back. Being the fact that, again, like I said, the information came out that Trudeau's already my thought is this. Now that he's already implemented the EMA the first time around, the second time around is going to be that much easier for him, obviously. And if he's got the United Nations militants behind him, I mean, if they're going to be on standby, what's to say that they're not going to be into Canada before the bikers even get there?
Can I add something here? When I was watching those videos, and I haven't gotten to this with Rooster yet, but maybe Rooster can touch on this, but I was watching these videos, and they had those soldiers standing there in Ottawa when they brought in the horses and they trampled that poor lady. And one of the videos after that, though, I seen like a line of these, they look like UN soldiers to me with no insignia on their uniforms. And this big, big, big son of a bitch. I mean that guy had to have been 7 foot tall and about 5 foot wide, but all muscle. He walked up and he grabbed a guy that seemed to be about 2 feet shorter than him and basically lifted him up and moved him out of the way and stood in front of everybody. And that guy that was standing there in front of the first soldier looked at that guy, and he was probably maybe lower chest, and he looked up at that guy, and then the look on his face was like, holy shit. And that was that's the same thought that went through my mind. I'm like, holy shit, what is this guy, like a fucking robot, or what? I mean, what the hell did they bring into Ottawa with those troops? Were they UN? Because that wasn't the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. That wasn't Ottawa police. Those guys in the green uniforms.
Those were UN. UN's actually over in UN's in Vancouver or in Victoria right now at the U of Vic as well. So they are in Canada. They were there then, and they are now. And I stood face to face with some of them fuckers, and they're just black-eyed, dead-looking, soulless fucking they're just, I mean, you've been, this fucking army's been being built, that UN's been being built for years and years and years, right? And I'm pretty fucking sure that they start as children, right? So they're basically, literally, they've made heartless, soulless fucking machines is what they are. And I said, I fucking face to face with them and took a schmack from one of them, so.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, these are militants. I mean, they're trained to kill. They're not trained as peacekeepers. They're not trained for any other choice of confrontations other than just kill. So I've seen some of the footage of various people who were actually standing there during the time that these guys were invading Ottawa. And I mean, what they did to the trucks and the campers and to the people, I mean, no, they're just not human. I mean, they just have no compassion, no soul, nothing. They're just dead soldiers.
Yeah, it's horrible what I see. And again, mainstream media doesn't show you that. You have to dig for those videos, and you have to dig deep, and because they bury the shit out of them. And you can't go to Google either, because they hide that stuff too. But hey, did you want to add anything else before we move on? We have another caller that wants to get on, and I want to give you a last second opportunity to ask Rooster a question if you had, or Rooster to respond.
I have
no,
a question
thanks.
As well for him.
Okay, go ahead.
I just wanted to ask you real quick a little more information on the bikers that are going up there. Where is that information? Where can people find that?
Actually, if you want to go on to my page, Bidmark Canada, on TikTok, you'll find probably about a half a dozen or more pieces of information on their different clips. There's clips there of the boys' agenda. There's a full video on there that shows where they are going to be touring on what days. So the actual agenda is up there as well. But yeah, it's all on my TikTok page.
And you said that was Bidmark Canada?
No, Bidmark, B-I-D.
Bidmark.
B-I-D-M-A-R-K.
M-A-R-T, T like Tom.
I'm sorry, Bidmark Canada.
Okay, cool.
All right.
I write
so
that
I
stuff down so I can share it later.
Yeah, Jeremy, there's, like I said, there's about a half a dozen bids I got on the page up there. You'll also find that it's actually starting to pop up now all over Facebook as well, so I've noticed. But I try to stay ahead with it as much as I can. And it's the same thing with the Freedom Convoy. When I mean the Voice first started putting everything together, when Pat and Tamara just basically started organizing everything, before it even left their doorstep, I mean, between Chris and David and all the rest of the boys, I mean, before they even had their gear packed in the trucks, I mean, I had all the news put out there as much as I possibly could, because I mean, I wanted to be one of the soldiers who made sure that everybody knew that, hey, it was on the way. And I'm going to tell you, I cried a lot. But they
can find you, know. You on at Bidmark Canada on TikTok, and where else can they find you? Facebook?
No. My Facebook page has been gone. My Twitter is gone. You'll find me on Getter. I do have a Getter app. But once Trudeau brought in that C-10 or the C-11 bill, sorry, C-11. So once he put in the censorship bill and the new one now, which is the 233 bill. So basically all he's been doing is he's just been pushing bills through one after another, and he's sneaking them all underneath the table, and people just aren't paying attention. And up here in Canada, I mean, we're getting hammered. I mean, RCMP are showing up at people's doors, handing out notices, handing out fines for you know, stuff that they're posting on Facebook. And Facebook is, I mean, it's monitored like heavy, heavy, heavy. And people don't realize that they're not realizing that they're being monitored as deeply as they are. And it's unfortunate because, I mean, the next thing they know, they got a knock on the door, and, you know, it's an RCMP officer, and they either got a citation or they got, you know, a warning that what they've been posting is, you know, it's violating the new laws. And, you know, Trudeau is just, like I said, he's pushing this stuff. The censorship is just unbelievable. Unbelievable how fast it's I mean, this guy is doing Hitler all over again, just because of the fact that we're into a digital age. So Hitler disposed of all the books, and Trudeau is disposing of the internet. So it's working in the exact same theory, just in a modern way.
Yep. No, you got it. You hit the nail on the head. But I'm going to move on to the next caller. Thank you for adding what you added. And it's Bidmart Canada on TikTok and Getter. Thank you for your call, my friend, and we appreciate the support and the kind words.
Thank you, Jeremy. Thank you, Chris. Rooster, good luck, buddy, and we'll be in touch. Thanks for the info, and thanks for the insight. Gentlemen, have a great night.
Take care, bro.
All right, everybody, that was Bidmart Canada, Bidmart Canada, on TikTok, Bidmart Canada, and Getter. So you can find them there. Let's go right over to our next caller. 6114. We are going to add you on. And who do we have on the conversation tonight?
Sorry to bother you again, Jeremy, but it's Gary again.
Oh, Gary, hey, no problem. I got your number written down here. I should have known it was you.
I have to address something. A lot of people with good intentions, like this last caller, woefully are ignorant and apathetic. And this is a big problem within the community of people that are wanting to fight for change. All right. I mean, there's so much wrong with many of the comments that were made, that confusion and the disinformation, almost as bad as this, you know, the MSN. So he's talking about things like, he hit the nail on the head with a couple things, right? Like the convoy and the potential outcome. It's actually going to be worse this time around. He was incorrect with the EMA application being easier to implement. It's always been easy to implement. All right. And this is why a lot of people don't get why the convoy was illegal. So I figured I needed to kind of help clarify that a bit. Like America, in Canada, if we want to have a protest legally, there's one major thing that must be done. I'm sure you may know what that is. Can you answer that?
One legal thing, if we want to have a protest, get proper permits from where you want to.
Yeah, you need a permit, absolutely. Which sounds asinine, yep, because you're trying to protest a bad government by fulfilling a bad
exactly
government. But if you don't have that permit, what does that make it, number one?
Makes it illegal.
That's right.
To
which
them.
Is the very first thing that makes the protest in Ottawa illegal. They didn't have a permit. He was talking about the organizers, Tamara Litch and Pat King. Pat King actually had two prior convoys in Canada, and they didn't turn out any better. And each time there was problems, right? This time around was no different. So Tamara Litch, everybody was talking about how they were going to die on this hill. It was the last stand. I'm sure that since you were following, you heard that quite a few times, yeah?
Absolutely.
So she got arrested. She's being held on bail. And during that process, her big thing was, I just want to go home, right? So much for dying on that hill, even if you got arrested, as you stated. When the judge actually asked her and her husband, because her husband flew down from Alberta on a private jet, magically, even though they're broke, to stand beside his wife, okay? The judge asked him, why should we let you out? Why aren't you, you know, what's going to give us reassurance you're not going to continue this? He literally asked him in the court, why did you do it? Do you know what her answer was?
No.
I thought it was my First Amendment right to protest in Canada.
First Amendment right? Do you have charter rights in Canada, not constitutional rights, right?
That's right. That's right. But this is your organizer, right? This is your leader, misleading people. Now, let's get to the more important reason why the convoy was illegal and why those things happened. Which actually, once you understand, you'll see that they actually had a lot of restraint. And then we'll identify the one thing that you mentioned about the green soldier guys. Okay. So a couple of years ago, this guy named Pierre Poilievre, politician from the conservative right and a few others were complaining about the protest happening at that time with the indigenous community, blockading the highways and the railways. And said, we must stop this. We can't allow these people to protest and hold our country hostage. And everybody was like, yeah, we got to do something. So they passed this bill called the Critical Infrastructure Defense Act, making it illegal to protest critical infrastructure. Now, would it surprise you that a seat of government is kind of critical infrastructure? It's kind of the most critical infrastructure in the country. So between those two things, not having a permit and actually protesting in the wrong area, could you imagine holding a protest in Washington and going right up to the White House? Not on the street, but right up on the White House. What do you think would happen?
I tell you what, we went there in March 2020, and we didn't go right up to the White House, but we camped out in their back lawn right on Constitution Avenue.
Not right up to the White House.
No, no.
They have a corridor
you, if you area, tried to enter,
which you're not allowed to go
if
into.
If you would have tried to enter there, you would have been shot right on
exactly.
site.
Exactly. And you think Canada has any different laws? We have our terrorism bill. So once they committed to that act of infrastructure, that labeled them legally a terrorist, which allowed the terrorism laws to kick in the EMA legally. Okay? It was only until the international money was blocked by those blockades of the bridges that they decided to act for a reason. They didn't care. They were actually fine with the bouncy castles and the pig roasts and the fucking Congo lines and all that shit. They did it relatively peaceful on both sides, even with some of the antagonistic things. Now, let's address those guys in uniforms. They were not UN troops. UN troops were not present working with the police against people. That, in fact, was G4S, a private security company, PMC. America uses them. Canada uses them. England uses them. Australia uses them. Everybody uses them.
Where the hell are they from?
G4S is a PMC, sort of like Blackwater or the current iteration of Blackwater. These ones are based out of England, and they're applied to most Commonwealth countries. Canada is a Commonwealth country.
So they are probably being financed by the WEF, World Economic Forum.
100%.
Because the size of that guy... Like he was like a
listen. Have you not met anybody in your day running with a PMC? Have you heard about the PMCs? You must have heard about the PMCs.
No.
You must have heard about the exploits of Blackwater in Iraq, right? The government was PMCs to do the work for them.
I know a lot of stuff, but I will never claim to be an expert at any of the shit that I spew out of my mouth. But I will give you bits and pieces of the things that I've researched. That there's so much to research. There's so much information out there to educate yourself of what's really happening. I'm only
absolutely
at the tip of the iceberg. As guys like you and Rooster and all of us. No.
Do you know what a PMC is?
No.
Okay, so think of a security company then. That's all ex-military specialists who work as private security for corporations. Government's contracting them for peacekeeping, for public assistance, for all kinds of things. You see these bodyguards that show up to protect dignitaries or corporate officials in foreign countries? That's typically PMCs. Right? These guys are big and bad. So he was absolutely right. They look like killers because they fucking are. Knowing that only reflects on how much they actually held back. Because under that terrorism law, under that violation of the Critical Infrastructure Act, they could have, should have, just like they would in Washington, done a hell of a lot worse. Now, I'm not advocating for them. I'm not justifying things. And I'm certainly not a fan. But it could have been a lot worse. Okay, this next round... They're going to do more damage, introducing more legislation as a result, to demonize everybody that talks about freedom. Even worse. Good intentions.
I agree with that.
The world is paved with good intentions.
But let me ask you a question on this, and I'll ask Rooster the same question. you know, Rooster, you know, says that, it's a don't go to fucking Ottawa because you're just egging them on. Maybe that's what's needed to get the show on the road. You know what I'm saying? We all talk about us running out of time. We're running out of time.
What we forget?
Maybe they need to just show their Canada and United States. This is really what we weren't lying. This is really what's going down. So when those bikers show up and they get violent with those bikers, and those bikers ain't going to sit back and take shit. And is that going to be the set off to all of this?
No.
Is it?
No. What it will be your own demise. That's what it'll be. You will do more irreparable damage with not just violence, but every other tool as a justification. That's what, do you really believe they couldn't stop that protest from happening should they choose? They want it to happen.
Oh,
they want you to do it, and they will squish it.
They
we've
want.
Been
they want violence.
Around the planet. We've been chasing around the people from all over the planet and killing them outside of America, outside of Canada, at the press of a button, fucking years. You can have your AKs and your ARs, and you're not going to do shit. You're only going to get the rest of society to do the job for them that they need done. 100% helping the elite in their agenda. 100%.
Yeah, the moment that you become violent, they're not going to show the video that instigated that violence. They're not going to do that. They're going to show you instigating the violence, and they're going to flip
research,
the narrative on you.
In your research, you peruse social media, don't you?
Yes.
Kind of what you do when you're doing these kinds of things. I've had my podcasts. I do the same thing. Tell me you haven't noticed, or any of you listeners, or Rooster, the increased rhetoric amongst the everyday average Joe wishing death on each other. Now, think of...
Oh, yeah, they wish war. Yeah.
They've
never been to war.
Protests and these kinds of... Well, that's the problem. People that are calling for violence have never been shot at. I'll tell you.
Right.
It's not a fun thing. Now look at Black Friday. You know, those Black Friday sales. In 17 months, as Rooster pointed out, and others and Jason has pointed out, when they turn that tap off and you can no longer go buy groceries, how do you think it's going to turn?
It's going to be...
And they will have to do a motherfucking thing. We are like Cupid dolls.
Exactly.
Remember that? How old are you?
Me, I'm 44.
Make me feel old. Back in the day, I used to have Cupid dolls. Are you familiar with what they are?
Chris, if you try to talk, you got a bad connection.
Yeah, probably.
Try it again, Chris.
I live off-grid, so it's... spotty at the best of times. Your grandma used to have these toys called Cupid dolls. Are you familiar with what they are? You pull the string out of their back, and they just go drip, 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 drip. They just have this pre-programmed response.
No, they've warned us already. They already warned us and said that, hey, There's going to be a cyber attack. It's going to be caused by Russia. They're already putting a narrative out there. It's not going to be from Russia. It's going to be from our own government, from the World Economic Forum that's in charge of the whole world. And once that happens and people start starving and they can't go to the grocery store and getting food, where the fuck do you think they're going to go? You think they're going to go to their local politician's house and try to grab their food? No. They're going to come to your house, and they're going to break your door down and beat the shit out of you and steal your food. Because they know
and
you got it.
Criminals, the government can legally arrest you or search. And the people here for that response, you are a terror. That's what will be the result. It's always been that way. All special.
Yeah, that's the first round of depopulation right there. Just turn on ourselves.
Right.
Rather than joining and uniting. Yeah.
In addition to all these other
we
things
we're
doing, the food and the medication and all the stuff.
We have enough food stored amongst all of us for us to unite and join as one.
You will own nothing and be happy. Did you know under the Patriot Act, it's actually illegal to have more than 3 days of stored food?
I've read all of this about the 911 and all of that, and people, you know how much shit I have taken over the years telling people that the 911 was just to usher in that Patriot Act, and they had the Patriot Act written within 24 hours of that fucking attack. You don't write a bill within 24 hours of a major attack. Yeah.
Years. I've been getting it myself. I get it. It's
you got a bad connection, Gary.
You want me to call back? I can do that.
Yeah, let me call you tomorrow. I want to get on with our conversation with Rooster. Not that what you're saying isn't important, because I think that's another 3-hour show.
UN troops. Just
All right, I had to cut Gary off there. His connection is really bad, and it's I apologize, Gary, but yeah, it's just it got too bad. But
so there you go. So thank you for that correction, Gary. It wasn't UN guys. It was the PMS, like he says. So I it's not my intention to spread misinformation. There's enough of that shit flying around out there as it is, right? So I'm grateful for that
correction. Yeah, no, and that's why I asked you, and because you were there. I wasn't. I'd just seen the videos. It certainly looked like all I can tell you is that they weren't Ottawa police. They weren't Royal Canadian Mounted Police. They were an outside entity. And, again, that guy, I wish I could describe him to you, because that guy was a fucking beast. I mean, that guy was huge.
I saw him. Believe me. There was more than one like that there, my friend. They're fucking monsters. There was a bunch of them. Yeah.
I mean, where the fuck did they breed these guys? At Chernobyl?
Don't know.
I mean, they're huge.
Who knows where they...
I mean, I would have... You know, they would have made me look small, and I'm 6'6", 340 pounds. I mean, they would have made me look like a midget. These guys were monsters.
Mm-hmm. They were, yeah.
Holy
and trained. And trained for one reason. So.
Yeah, they weren't there to listen to your listen to what you were upset about. They were there to show you force. They were there to show you fuck around and find out, basically. Because I watched those videos, man, and I was like, and the simple fact that you told me, yeah, I walked up to him and I looked him right in the eye. I'm telling you what, I'm not going to lie to you. If I see that big son of a bitch come out of the shadows and move that guy like he moved him, I would have took 3 steps back and I'd have been like, I got to rethink this for a second. This is a chess game, and I ain't fucking winning. That's what I would have thought. I mean, that guy was huge. And if there was more than one of them, my conspiracy mind wants to go to a place of, you don't think they've got, AI. I mean, they've got technology that we don't even know about yet. I mean, we know about AI, but it's far more advanced than what we already know. But you don't think those guys are AI, do you?
I you know what? I'm not even going to comment. I have no idea. But I do know that it's asinine to think that a bunch of civilians are going to raise up with pitchforks and try and take on an international military that's been fucking trained, you know what I mean, for how many years. And you know what I'm saying? And they can just drop shit on you from the sky if they wanted to. So, you know what I'm saying? That's the thing. I don't know. There's no trust there anymore because they have an agenda and, you know, listen to them the way they talk. I mean, they're blatant with it now. They're not going to stop them.
No, they're not worried about you. They're not worried about me. They're more pissed off that you're interfering with what they're trying to do and exposing them further for what they're trying to do, making them have to make decisions faster than what they wanted to do. That's what they're pissed off about.
Just like Trudeau did in the world, right?
Yeah, and like you said, Rooster, if you think you're going to go in there with your 9mm or your buck knife or your AR-15 or your AK-47 or whatever the hell you got, you can have an arsenal of 200 weapons. They've got drones that are the size of a bee that can put a bullet through your forehead 200 yards away. And they're probably laughing at me when I say that, because they're probably laughing and saying, try 500 yards or try 1,000 yards. They've got They've got infrared. They've got everything that you're not thinking about. That if you think you're going to go in there, waltz in there, and so let's just say, for instance, somebody walks into Parliament and they went in and they were successful in getting a hold of Justin Trudeau and they took him out. Do you not think that there's another 2, 3, 4, 5, 6,000, tens of thousands of people that are ready to be placed into his position? I mean, absolutely. These are questions that people, they don't think about. It's not as simple as, I'm going to stand up and I'm going to have a 1776. We can all make badass TikTok videos and look like a badass. But at the end of the day, are you ready to really do what needs to be done in that sense?
It's like, it's like Chris Sky's message. Just say no. Okay. What the fuck's that going to do?
What you guys did, I think, was a perfect example. You stood head-to-head, toe-to-toe with the government, and you smiled. Well, some of you got a little loud, but rightfully so, but you didn't get violent. You had a lady that was trampled by horses forcefully. I watched that. There was no need for that. That was an escalation tactic they thought would piss off the crowd, and you guys would go after them. And then it would have been game on, but you guys didn't do it. You guys remained peaceful. And then they threatened you, and they threw some of you in jail. And, you know, like tomorrow she was thrown in jail. I just want to go home. Listen, I've been not into her, like right to her position, but I've been to where you get criticized so harshly and death threats so bad that you're just like, what the fuck am I doing this for? You know what? It's the Titanic. The motherfucker's sinking. I'm going to sink with it. And as I'm fucking drowning, I'll pop my head up out of the water and say, I told you, stupid fucker, so. But it doesn't matter. No matter what you do, it's not right. Other people, you're just doing it for this, you're doing it for that, or you're taking money, you're doing it. You, Rooster, I know you got a good heart and you're in it for the right reasons. And I think you know that I'm in it for the right reasons. And the people that are closely involved with me, I know, are in it for the right reasons. We're not here for a popularity contest, because trust me, it's not popular. I get the shit bashed out of me all the time, and I'm sure you do too, by the opposition.
Yeah.
Do you get a lot of that, Rooster?
Oh, I do. Oh, I definitely. definitely, I do. It's. I mean, my entire life, I've always taken negativity and I've turned it into fuel, right, for success. But it's just, this is a way different realm we're living in here now. And action's going to speak here, not thoughts, right? So, and I'm actually looking forward to you having that discussion with Gary when you give him a call there. And and then I know we're gonna have some more conversations like this, you and I, after you do that. Because as you can see, he's a very knowledgeable individual and he's right on track, and I've learned a lot from that guy, and I'm grateful for it. So, I mean, it's not everything, by no means. Nobody's ever going to know everything, and I don't believe I need to know everything. I'm not going to spend 20 years studying all this shit because we don't have time. So,
basically, exactly.
Faith in, right?
Yeah. No, you're right. No, and I, you know, I think Gary brought a lot to the conversation. The only thing is, like, I think, you know, you and I pretty much got into the questions I wanted to ask you about Ottawa, except for, I guess I did want to ask you, what other things that did you see in Ottawa with the Ottawa Police Department before that police chief resigned? And why do you think that police chief resigned?
I think, this is now again, this is my opinion, because I don't know what the actual facts are, because I didn't talk to the police chief directly. So I just get what kind of what we've heard. But my understanding is he didn't actually resign. He was basically forced out because I think he disagreed with some of the antics he was asking. You know what I mean? Some of the things that they were trying to push him to do. That's what I believe. Anyways, I could be wrong, but that's the way I'm looking at it anyways.
Yeah, no, and I agree with you. I mean, and just because you and I agree on something doesn't mean it's fact or You know, this is a show of people just calling in, like me and you having a discussion, and telling you how we feel. Sometimes we will say, well, I know this for a fact, and sometimes we'll just give you, well, I think this. That's okay, because we all have it. We all have thoughts. We all have opinions. We have facts, too. I think Gary is a guy that has a lot more facts backing him up than guys like me and you as far as what our opinion or our thoughts are because of something that we witnessed. The only thing I know is that don't believe everything you see with your own two eyes and believe half of what you hear, because we live in a very deceptive world. That's what I know.
We do.
On that, Rooster, what your overall, since you guys are still going at it, though, you guys are still, you were up in, where were you at last weekend?
I was on Vancouver Island for 3 weeks there, the Nanaimo.
Oh, Vancouver
weekend.
Island. Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys got anything else planned right now, or are you guys kind of waiting to see what the bikers do when they come rolling into town?
No, over here in British Columbia and Kelowna on May 7th, we have it's basically a trucker biker rally. We're not going to Parliament buildings. It's a gathering. It's for the children, right? It's for the pedophilia and all that stuff and the raising awareness and stuff. Because I mean, that again, that's a completely other 10 shows right there with that underground shit that goes on. And
it's not just happening in Canada. It's happening in the United States. It's happening worldwide. That's
worldwide.
And people just, yeah. And when you tell them about it, they're like, "Oh, that can't be." And it's your own governments, the people that you're voting for, that you say you trust, because you're not voting for them. They're being placed into office. It's not. We're not. Okay. Here's where I go off on this is my thoughts. I don't have any facts to back you up or back it up. But these people they're sick. We are dealing with the sickest of the sick. And they happen to be people that are ruling us and governing us worldwide. And people that, I gotta go to Walmart. That, you know what? I quit shopping at Walmart. Why? Because their name has popped up an awful lot in some of my research. Now, I ain't going to say that they did anything, because I don't know for a fact, but their name has popped up quite a bit. That's all I'm going to say.
Have you ever seen any of the ads for the $10,000 shoes?
That was with them, and who else was that? That popular store where people go to buy furniture and stuff. What the hell is that place called, Chris?
Which store?
Where they buy furniture and office equipment.
Are you talking about
IKEA?
Like IKEA?
Yeah, IKEA, I think, was named in one of those stories, too, where they were selling bookshelves or something. I don't know what the hell it was, for an exorbitant amount of money. Or beds, like, do you want a boy bed or a girl bed? I don't remember exactly what it was. And IKEA might not be the name, and if it is, I apologize.
No, it wasn't IKEA. I know what you're talking about. It's right on the tip of my tongue.
Oh, no, it wasn't. It wasn't. I apologize. It wasn't IKEA. It was I know what you're talking about, though, Rooster. These things that we research and we get way too deep into, and then we realize, fuck, I shouldn't have went down that rabbit hole. Because once you get down in the rabbit hole, you find things that are very disturbing. And I've really actually seen with my own two eyes, and again, you got to believe half of what you see, but question everything you see. But then you dig into it deeper, and you wish you wouldn't have. It's not okay. What's that, Chris?
Wayfair.
There you go. That's, yes, not IKEA. IKEA, I apologize. IKEA is okay. As far as I know, I haven't come across their name. Go to IKEA. Buy their shit. but no, Wayfair. They had some stuff that was really fucked up. Have you seen that stuff, Rooster?
Yeah, you bet, yeah. So, I mean, you know, the tunnels and all the underground things, like, it's just a fucking, society is so blind to, and I mean, fucking, you and I were the same for years and years and years, right? Blind to all this stuff. I mean, obviously, there's two things they didn't really do in school. There's one thing is they didn't teach you the truth. They never taught you wealth creation, because then you could go against these fuckers, and you know what I mean? So it's just an evil fucking world we're living in, and again, we've done it to ourselves. We did it. We're the fucking problem, not those guys. We're the problem, because
nope.
we're just pawns in a bigger scheme. You know what I mean? So it's us that's fucked this all up. So, and a lot of people don't want to hear
I agree with you. I've been saying that for quite some time. Don't get mad at those people for doing what they do. That's in God's hands now. Be upset at yourself that you believed everything that people told you, including what we tell you. Don't believe everything I tell you. Go and research it. But I'm going to warn you, when you start researching, you start jumping down a rabbit hole, pick a subject. Dig into it. And I mean dig deep, but be prepared for the outcome, because once you dig deep into this shit, you're going to find it's going to lead you to a million other rabbit holes. And you're going to want to go like a squirrel, like you're going to cross the street and you're going to stop and run back to the curb and then maybe cross the street, because that's how many subjects you'll get from one rabbit hole. And once you get rabbit hole, oof.
Yeah. And people realize, see, people got to realize, this has been going on for decades. So for people to actually go and find this truth for themselves, there's no time anymore. It's almost, in a sense, a leap of faith. People got to realize, like, guys like you and me and Gary and others who are onto this stuff, getting our message out, it's funny how they twisted this now, because you've got so many decades of brainwashing and manipulation, indoctrinations, that, you know, to try and get this across to people, they just don't want to believe it. You know, it's just, fuck, you're fucking crazy talking like that. Well, yeah, it is. And it's the crazy people that change the world. So.
Yeah. Hey, we got another caller. You want to grab another caller quick? 6606. It's a 666 number in here with all the conspiracy theories we're talking about. What the hell? 6606. We'll bring you on here. And if you sound like the devil, we're kicking you off. Who do we have here?
My name is Lucifer. Actually, my name is Joe. And I've called him before.
Joe, I damn near went. I was like, holy shit. This was not. No. How you doing?
Yeah,
tonight,
how about
Joe?
That? Right. Okay. Well, you know, Elvis sounds like Lucifer. So I thought, well, why not?
I love it.
So the thing is, I called in tonight to find out from Rooster, since I'm affiliated with the Canadian Freedom Rallies, is how's it going? Because we haven't heard anything in America so in a lot of weeks about what's going on in Canada. And I know of somebody that I'm going to talk to tomorrow who also is named Chris, and he's affiliated with the movement here in America. And I, so I want to find out from you what's going on in Canada, what kind of progress, and how long do you think that in Canada you'll be able to do some kind of impact on Parliament or on Trudeau to lift this this tyranny that's affecting you people. And and before you answer, let me also say this. You were saying, the host, what's your name?
I'm Jeremy.
You're Jeremy? Okay, now Jeremy, you were talking about how, and Rooster, you were talking about how it's our fault what's happening to us. Let me disagree with you. And I'm going to use Rooster's own premises. We have been indoctrinated so long for so many decades incrementally that that's what brainwashing does. Now, I don't say that the people, I always say that the American people are stupid, but I don't blame them for being stupid because of all the bullshit, the indoctrination through the schools, the lies through the professors, the mainstream lying, your parents and grandparents having absorbed all of this in their era, in their generation, passing it down to us. So we're not to blame. It's the assholes, the cabal, the richest families, the Rothschilds in particular, the Rockefellers, who are perpetrating this upon us and knowing how they're doing it. Now, are we continuing along with what they want to do in their insidious ways? Yeah, but that's what robots and androids do. They do what they're programmed to do. Are we dangerous to ourselves? Hell yeah. Would I want them around? Fuck no. But I don't blame them. That's the purpose of brainwashing. So you may disagree with me, Jeremy, but I don't let us off the hook that easily, but I don't put the blame on our shoulders also.
And it's not a blame thing that I'm saying. It's not a blame. It's fucking reality. Every day we go out and we buy our gas, we buy our groceries, we shop at the Walmarts, we shop at all these places. Every dollar that we've been spending for the last however many 18 years has been for our own demise, unwillingly and unknowingly, mind you, but that's the reality. We've financed these guys, all these billions of dollars, to fuck us now. Then that's the reality of it.
Well, yeah, they do have a lot of billions and even trillions of dollars to fuck us, but it's not because we willingly or even unwillingly to finance them. The Federal Reserve here in our country and the Central Bank, I'm sure, which is your country, they steal the money from us, have bribed the politicians to continue it, and the politicians, you know, continue the perpetuation of the insidious indoctrination. So, yeah, it's very hard to wake people up. And Jeremy, the rabbit hole you were talking about, sure, one rabbit hole leads to another, leads to another, leads to another. And a lot of times there's just a lot of made-up shit, like QAnon. But there's a lot of times where and nobody will believe it, like Rooster was talking about, because it's too hard to believe. Yes, we believe in corrupt government, corrupt politicians, but to be that corrupt that they'll sell down Canada and the United States for a few million dollars and are willing to kill us for money? We don't believe that, and we don't want to believe it, but we have to believe it. So it's very hard to wake people up. But to get back to my question about Rooster and the rest of the freedom convoys, if not convoys, the freedom movement, what's going on there currently? Because, again, I haven't heard anything about what's going on in Canada in weeks.
We're all over Canada. They're still gathering. They're still rallying. But again, there's so many people that are rallying for the wrong reasons here, because they're still focusing on get rid of Trudeau and that's going to fix everything. That's not who's running us, right? We're being run by international corporations now. So
right.
We're wasting time. We're wasting time, effort, money right now on driving around in circles, honking our horns, and waving our flags. Is basically what we're doing. So, I'm just going to say this. Now, what if we all, because like I say, we're being run under an international corporation. So, what if we all took our time, effort, and money, put it towards our own international corporation that could umbrella us against these maniacs?
That's a great idea.
And that. Mm.
Oh, you know, yeah.
And that, Jeremy, is
to do that would be a unified effort against the counteroffensive or against the Rothschilds, in other words, and the Trudeaus and the rest of them.
They have us so divided, guys, that if we try to do something like that, you'd have, okay, three, let's say you picked three guys to run that corporation. They have us so divided that, let's say you had a million investors into that. million people that will send you a $20 bill. Let's just say that. Those three guys would have be attacked by the rest of the million investors, and they'd all have 1 million different ideas of what and how that money should be spent and what or how we should do it. There's zero trust left between anybody anymore.
And
it's a great idea. It's a great concept. But go ahead.
It's not only a concept, but it's literally our only way out of this right now. So
it really is.
When you have that conversation with Gary, when you phone him, he will educate you on that. I'm not going to get into it right now because we've been at this for 2 hours and 15 minutes already. But that's basically the direction that we – that is the message now, what we're doing. And on the 7th of May here, when we do what we're doing over in Kelowna area, when I get on stage and I slap my gums, being the bobblehead I am, to 20,000 people, this is the message I'm giving.
And I support that.
I'm sorry. There is proof of the cabal. You guys seen the video of Klaus Schwab at the talking to Gerben, and he's telling him flat out there in front of the camera for everybody to see and hear that it was his group, if not Dave, also the Bilderbergs, that it was the World Economic Forum that infiltrated many of the cabinets and the politicians of the world. And he named Trudeau and he named Putin. So that video is right there, probably on YouTube. If not on YouTube, then it's either on Rumble or Brighton. And the guy's name is Klaus Schwab.
We've been talking about him.
Chris.
Oh, okay.
I'm just going to do something here real quick. Just because, humor me here, guys. Chris, you're in front of a computer, I would assume.
My computer is on strike tonight. I'm not sure what's going on with it, so I've actually folded it up and put it away finally.
Okay. Well, any of the listeners that are out there right now listening to this, go onto the World Economic Forum's website and just look at their partners, and then just click on the A's, and then just see how many companies under the A's that they recognize, and that's just the A's.
Well, I have
they have 80s.
Or these global partners?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the point he's trying to make is that's just the A's. You got the whole frickin' alphabet to go through. If you think we're lying to you,
yeah.
This is way bigger than you can imagine.
Okay.
Go ahead, Rooster.
I'm looking right now.
Okay, so read a few of them. One that you recognize.
The A's. All right, let's see. Accenture. Let's see. Aegea. Aegean. There's a whole lot of A's. Airbus. There you go. There. We all know Airbus. We've probably all flown on a few of theirs.
Read the ones that are more recognizable, Chris.
And if you get tired of that. Jeremy, you were talking about Walmart. If you go to the W's, maybe Walmart's there.
Oh, there we go. Anheuser-Busch. Is anyone besides me? Because I know I'm a beer extraordinaire. I am Bikers from the Beer Man. Anheuser-Busch is a well-known company. Let's see here. Amazon. There we go. Anybody here heard of Amazon?
I haven't. What are they?
Wow, yeah, there's quite a few A's here.
Okay, and that's just the A's. So that's my point. So now if people would actually take the time, effort, and energy and go and actually look at that, this is why I say to you that we've been paying to fuck ourselves for years.
Yeah, quit buying shit from those companies. That's why I buy from Hank's Hardware Hank here where I live. I buy local. I went in and bought a microwave because my microwave took a shit, Yeah, I spent $80 more on a microwave than I could have if I went to Walmart. But guess what? I didn't contribute to the corruption.
No, no. But here's the kicker. Who did they buy the product from?
Well, I was just going to say that.
Supply chain.
Yeah, but we all were. Yeah, I did contribute to the problem in some sense, but my money went to them. You know, they had to buy it from probably a corrupt. Well, they probably got it from China, but.
This is what I'm saying. This is what I'm saying about a unified start over, in a sense. Unplug from this system, create our own system. It won't be easy. You're basically going to go back. We'd be going back to pilgrim times, in a sense, to start over again. So, but again, we're not going to get too deep into that right now, but that's essentially our way out of this, but I hate to say parallel, but it's kind of what it is. But, and not everybody's going to go, and that's okay, because some people you're not going to change, and that's all there is to it.
Yeah.
And, but the ones that are smart enough, can see past their emotions, fuck their feelings, and just live with facts, are the ones that would be benefiting from this, in a sense.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think that, Rooster, I'll probably have a conversation with Gary tomorrow, and you'll probably be the next guy I call so we can set up another episode where you, me, and Gary can get more deep into that kind of stuff rather than what the Ottawa protest was and what you guys are doing now. I think that'd be another interesting conversation to have. But I'm running out of time, so I gotta let our caller go. Rooster, stay on for a second here. Thank you for calling. I appreciate it, Ed, and you're welcome to call in anytime and share your thoughts.
Thanks. All right. Take care, guys, and be safe, all right?
All right. And I apologize to him. I forgot what his name is, and that's my bad. Lucifer, yeah.
Lucifer.
We get so long into the show, and there's so many things that are talked about, and we kind of went, you know, we went to talking from Ottawa, and then all of a sudden we dove down a rabbit hole, and I started learning more information. Now my mind's spinning again, and whenever that happens, I start losing my track of thought in my mind. But number one, I'd like to say,
that happens. What we've done is we've planted the seed of a direction here to a solution. My friend. So
yeah, oh, absolutely.
And that's what it's about.
No, absolutely. But you know, we got a few minutes that, you know, me, you, and Chris can just, you know, share our final thoughts. But I want to start with number one. I appreciate you coming on, Rooster, and I think after I have that conversation with Gary tomorrow, we'll probably have another show lined up within the next 2 to 3 weeks. Where we'll get everybody on and we'll really dig into that a lot more deeper on that subject. I do know next week on the show I'd like to have, there's a guy on TikTok, his name is First Sergeant. He's a retired Marine Corps First Sergeant, and he's a very popular TikToker. And I, as you all know, I support our military 2,000%. I don't support our governments that send them into war zones, but I support them for their bravery and their commitment to defending us worldwide, not just in America, but Canadian military, any military. It takes a special soul to do that. They're trying to fight for the right reasons. They just don't know they're caught up in a corrupt government. So I'd like to have him on next week. But after that, there was another couple more people I was talking to. Actually, one person in Canada, or two people. One was a young lady that was at Ottawa also. And there was another Indigenous fellow that has been screaming on TikTok. I think his name is Spotted Horse, that he wants to do live videos and he's got something to say. And me, I'm always like, you know what? If you got something to say, come and join. I'll give you time to say what whatever you need to say, because we all deserve to have our voice heard. And I think a lot of your conversation tonight, Rooster, was, you know, it gave people an insight of what really happened in Ottawa, the love and the peace that you guys brought, and the destruction and corruption that the government pushed back with. And I hope that this conversation opened some people's eyes to the fact that the media is not telling you the truth. And I've been screaming this loudly. But a man with the firsthand experience like yourself, just another voice to tell us what really happened, what the general mood was when everybody got to Ottawa and how that all went down. It's good to hear that. That's what we all need to hear. And we need to keep hearing these very fast, because like you said, we're running out of time. But with that, Chris, I want to go to you and let you give a final thought, and maybe you have a couple questions for Rooster or whatever you have. And then I want to go to Rooster and let him finish out the show with his final thought and get out what he wants to say. So, Chris, the mic's on for you.
Oh, wow. Rooster, man, thank you for that find on the World Economic Forum Global Partners. I've been sitting here scrolling through, oh, my God, Goldman Sachs, Google, Facebook's parent company, Meta, you know. Wow, lots of big, big names. Moderna is in there. Go figure. Microsoft, you know, when you really start looking at who's pushing the narrative and who's supporting things, you know, in the corporate world, and then realize that they're all global partners of the World Economic Forum, man, if that doesn't bring things into focus for people, I don't know what will. So, yeah, I definitely encourage everybody to get out there, take a look at that list for yourself. Again, don't believe a damn thing Jeremy and I say. As a matter of fact, just assume that we're a bunch of stupid, patriarchal, misogynist, racist, homophobic, white supremacist, tinfoil hat-wearing conspiracy theorists, and then go out, look up the stuff we tell you to look up and prove us wrong, and have fun in those rabbit holes when you go to look up the stuff we're talking about, because you'll find out it's all there. But, yeah, no, fun show tonight. Definitely looking forward to hearing how your conversation with Gary goes there, Jeremy. And Rooster, thanks for being on tonight. It's been fun. And you know what? I'm pretty much going to wrap it up right there.
All right. Sounds good. And I apologize to Chris. Usually me and Chris have a lot of dialogue going between us. And I'm going to just say this before we get to Rooster. We have a few minutes left. For now on, Chris, if you got something to say, just interrupt or push the foghorn, that horn thing that we did
yeah,
last week.
Yeah, I'm going to make the Detroit Red Wings score a goal on you.
Yeah, just do that. I'm being honest with you. If you got something to say, if you push that, that's my cue that you, hey, I let me get in here. That seriously, that would help me out a lot too. I tend to take over the conversation because I'm like drawn in with the conversation, and I sometimes leave other people out, and I apologize for that. But Rooster, I would love for you to give what your final thoughts of this particular show is, and I'm in hopes that you'll come back and talk with us again once I have a conversation with Gary.
You know what? You're going to be introduced into a platform that was developed by Gary and Associates, and you're going to be shown exactly who is actually controlling the world right now. And I'm excited for you guys to see that. And you know what? I love you guys. I love what you're doing. I love what you stand for. And I'm really looking forward to helping you get the right message out and us being able to get the right message out here and hopefully save some fucking common sense lives here.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Again, Rooster, I can't thank you enough. I've been following all. There's so many people to follow, and I came across you on TikTok once I got my TikTok back, which I'll lose again. It'll only be the sixth time, but that's fine. But you know, I talked to Chatio. I'm sure you know, you're well aware of Chatio, and Chatio is going to start his own radio show now with the Texas Patriot. And once I find out the information on that, I will definitely promote those guys because we need to promote each other. This isn't about, you know, who can be the most popular. You know, it's not, you know, you need to listen to the Disrespected Trucker radio show because they've got more listeners. No. I don't want that. Chris doesn't want that, and I'm sure you don't want that once you start your thing that I will promote also, Rooster. We need to promote each other because there's going to be a different message you take away from each one of those shows, and it's going to wake a hell of a lot more people up. What do you think of that idea?
I think that's a fantastic idea. I mean, I'm not out here for clout. I'm not out here for followers. I'm not out here to fucking gain recognition, to gain fame and fortune. That's not what this is about. This is about giving my fucking grandkids a life, being so they can live,
right.
not be pawns to these psychos and part of this experimental horseshit that these guys are doing. So, with that said, you know what? I love you guys. Keep doing what you're doing, and keep spreading the truth, boys.
All right, Rooster, again, one last time, thank you very much for coming on tonight. We appreciate it, and I'll be talking to you in the near future.
Take care, guys. I'm out.
Take care. Thanks.
All right, everybody. That was Rooster, and that has wrapped up the 28th episode of the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show, in which 27 of them, my friend Chris Bankerson has been a part of. And Chris, before we go, where can they find you on Facebook and your other social media apps?
On Rumble, it's just Chris Bikerson. And on TikTok, as well as YouTube and Facebook, Bikerson the Beer Man. That is my little break away from all the things of the world that stress me out, where I just talk about cool places to go when you're traveling down the road for a vacation, great destinations, great places to stop and grab some food and have a good cold beer, some good craft beer spots. There's lots of amazing places around this country. Now, I'm not talking about the big iconic names that we all know about, like the Grand Canyon and things like that. I'm talking about just little independently owned, little heard of places. There's a lot of those out there that have some really cool things to see. They're fun to hang out, even if you're just stopping in for lunch. So I just kind of give a review of nice little getaway stops like that.
Perfect. So that's Bikerson the Beer Man, and that's B-I-K-E-R, like biker, and then S-O-N, Bikerson, all one word, and then the Beer Man. Look him up. Go check some of his stuff out. It's interesting. And it doesn't take too much of your time up. He does a really fantastic job of shortening it all up and just showing you the place. I've watched a couple of his videos, and I enjoyed it. And
you know, it's like if you've ever seen the TV show, I think it's like Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives or something like that. It's like an episode of that compressed into a 59-second review. So it's quick, to the point, shows you the basics, shows you a few basics of the place, what you'll see there with me doing a voiceover and a little bit of background music. So, yeah, really quick 59-second review.
Yeah, so we're going to go from conspiracy theories that come true to conspiracy theories that we think – to don't worry about that. Let's go drink a beer and have a hamburger. That's our show right there,
right.
Wrapped up in one sentence. Yeah. You get a little bit of everything with us, and that's okay. We can't all be serious all the time about, you know, the things that are affecting us in our lives on a daily basis. In that kind of sense, it's also nice to take the finer things in life. And sometimes the finer things in life are in life is a little dive bar off the beaten path. And Chris will show you that with Bikerson the Beer Man. So, Chris, I appreciate you for that, brother. And on that note, ladies and gentlemen, we will end number 28 of the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show. Thank you to everybody that called in tonight. Thank you to Rooster for your time. And I look forward to talking to Gary tomorrow. And I'm sure I'll set up another radio show in the very near future where we'll have Gary and Rooster back on together. And we will really dive deep into what is really going on in our world. And I'm pretty sure Gary's going to bring a lot more facts than I'll be able to. But either way, just find comfort in the fact that, number one, we have God, and number two, we have people that are like-minded, that understand what's going on, and that the world's not over, that there is hope left. But you have to believe. And on that note, Chris, as always, I appreciate you. And the audience, Amanda and Diane, thank you for your chat and callers and our guests. We appreciate you more than words could describe. And the listeners, we'll see you next week, Thursday night, 7 o'clock p.m. Central Time. Share us out. Let us grow and let us get the message out there far and wide. You all have a great night, and God bless each and every one of you.